Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And it is Friday, May 15th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Governor Tom Wolf will announce Friday that more counties can see some of its tightest pandemic restrictions lifted as counties and lawmakers kept up pressure on him to ease up on his orders. In a telephone news conference Thursday with reporters, Wolf said that he will make his decision on Friday morning. However, he has not changed his criteria for deciding which counties can emerge from his stay-at-home order and his order for non-life-sustaining businesses to close, he said. His health secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine, echoed that, saying that the administration will continue to count cases in prisons, factories, nursing homes, and other large settings prone to outbreaks against a county total. Wolf says the Pennsylvania is... Sorry, there's a lot. Do you guys hear that noise?
What was it?
I have no idea.
Sound like an alarm or something.
All right. I don't know.
All right, now it's gone. All right.
Somebody is not muted.
Oh, is that what that... Yeah, somebody... Yeah. Somebody.
Sorry.
So we're using our phones here to look at each other, and if you don't put your phone on mute... Then you get a speaker. It's me.
Is it you?
I thought I
no
hit
sad,
mute
bro.
In the hallway. No sad, bro. It's done.
But it was like fine for the whole beginning, like the beginning of news. And
yeah.
Well, because you know why? I had just turned my FaceTime on.
Yes. Okay. So now we're good.
All right. Sorry. All right.
Continue.
Yes.
So what were we saying? Okay. So they're counting the large settings prone to outbreaks as part of the county total. Wolf says that Pennsylvania is in a better place now, but he still has concerns with the availability of personal protective equipment and hospital capacity in some areas, and he wants to see a flatter curve. Wolf allowed 24 counties in northern Pennsylvania last week to emerge from the tightest restrictions, and another 13 counties in western Pennsylvania started. Starting today, nine counties that remain under Wolf's tightest restrictions meet one of his criteria of no more than 50 cases per 100,000 residents over the past 14 days. That includes York County, the state's eighth most populous. At least seven other Republican-controlled counties, including Beaver, Huntington, and Lancaster, the state's seventh most populous, have signaled that they will defy Wolf's orders starting Friday. Confirmed cases of the coronavirus are approaching 60,000 in Pennsylvania, the State Department of Health reported yesterday. The department reported 275 additional coronavirus deaths. Health officials also reported 938 new infections. The number of infections is thought to be far higher than the state's confirmed case count because many people have not been tested, and studies suggest that people can be infected without even knowing that they have the virus.
So, Kath, it's, you know, listen, Delco's pretty, it's a pretty dense population, you know, all sort of like centered and controlled around like, a few areas.
Right.
And, a majority of our cases and deaths, especially deaths, are in like these retirement rehabilitation communities.
Well, across the state, I think it was Wolf himself may have released information. 72% of all deaths in Pennsylvania have occurred in nursing homes or assisted living facilities.
Yeah, well,
yesterday was only about, it was like 56%.
Okay, well, there's a high percentage that's in this one in particular. I think there were like maybe 25 and. Deaths in one place in particular.
Well, Case, there's one county where over 90% of the cases are from one facility, like one nursing home. But Wolf is still not letting up on it. He's saying that they're part of the community.
No, they are.
There are people going, workers going in and out of those facilities. But yeah. So speaking of defying orders in Plymouth Meeting, a camp is planning on opening as scheduled. Day camps are a big industry in the tri-state area. And needless to say, kids and their parents are anxiously awaiting word about plans or lack of plans for the summer.
This camp will work, though, Kathy, because it's called Camp Edgy Loner.
Sesame Rockwood Camps is taking what some might call a bold move. With camp going on as usual, they're planning to open just a week later. Kids have been bottled up in the school system for the last few months. Kids need it. Parents need it, the owner said. Camp presents a lot of curveballs.
God, I can't wait to get rid of my children. That's basically what it's saying.
Yes.
We had plans for the summer. We were going to get rid of these horrible beasts for months. And now look at this. We have to spend time with them.
Camp presents a lot of curveballs for social distancing. So Sesame Rockwood says that everything will be, there'll be a new look. They'll be following CDC guidelines. There'll be no basketball or soccer, but there will be activities like crafts, and the kids will have to wear masks. Now, the owner says kids are really resilient. I think that they're going to wear the masks without a problem. We're going to provide it for staff as well. Another option, however, would be a virtual camp for kids this summer, though. Lavner Camps, headquartered in Montgomery County, offers virtual camps. Something that they've been doing before the pandemic. You can choose anything like Minecraft, roadblocks, coding camps, even graphic design camps, said co-owner Michael Lavner. A virtual camp doesn't cost as much as an in-person camp, and they say that kids won't be burnt out by too much screen time.
My son goes to a camp every summer. It's Camp Talkwoods down on the Chesapeake Bay. It's an overnight camp, and they haven't canceled yet. And I'm surprised that they haven't canceled yet. I love you too, Preston.
No, that was for Steve because he was pointing at me. We're flashing gang signs.
We a lot of times do little hand gestures over FaceTime.
But you know, we're like a month out from camp starting, and they haven't canceled yet. And I'm really curious as to see what happens with kids this summer. I don't know how they're going to do an overnight camp with any level of social distancing.
I think everyone is hopeful, you know, Nick. They probably haven't canceled it just in case, like, they can still have it because kids do enjoy going, and parents do enjoy a little time without their kids.
Nick, are you guys already paid up?
Well, we put the deposit down, Casey, and I think part of the reason why they haven't canceled is because so many parents have paid, you know, and they sometimes will pay at the end of last summer to reserve for this summer. Also, they bring in a lot of counselors from overseas, so there's counselors that come from the UK, in particular Ireland and England, and I don't know how any of those counselors would be able to come over and spend the summer here.
Well, I heard someone describing it, Nick, and in general, if you stop and think about it, the different states and the different rollouts and the different openings, that you basically have a whole series of lab experiments going on with. And dad is going to be accrued, and you're going to say, oh, look, well, they did this, and this is working. So as we move along, Kathy, as you're saying, obviously I agree, we're going to see how these things start to work. And I was looking at a picture today of a gym that is you know, retrofitted between all the treadmills. There's like a protective sheet of, you know, basically sneeze guards now between all the treadmills. So everybody there will be accommodations. And now you just see how everything works, and we'll get there.
I don't know where this was, but there was a restaurant that put shower curtains, like plastic shower curtains, in between each table.
Well, there you go.
There's a restaurant that put tables in my shower,
which
is pretty wild. Yeah.
Now are you having people over?
And this morning I had to ask people, please. Can you wrap it up?
Mm-hmm. In media, on Wednesdays, they do Dining Under the Stars.
And, yes, please.
Kath, I think they should just do Dining Under the Stars all summer long.
Casey, I had this conversation with Jen Fred a couple of weeks ago, and that's exactly what she referenced. She referenced that restaurant in media and said, why can't all of the counties do that? Like, you know, perfect spot would be Fayette Street in Conshohocken. If they were just allowed the restaurants to do outside dining, even if they didn't have a permit to do so, like, you know, give some sort of waiver for the time being and let people do this outside dining.
Look for those opportunities to help these businesses and help people get back up and running, because it's obviously an essential thing to do. You just want to do it in a smart way.
Right.
But yeah, that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Marissa has her opinions on whether or not we should do outdoor dining.
No, because I as well had this conversation with my friends, and I thought it was a great idea. There's a couple of restaurants in the city that just say, we have outdoor seating. Can't we all just use the sidewalks? But a bunch of my friends said, there's a lot of people that are in the kitchen. So you need, like right now, they'll have maybe two people out there cooking and doing dishes. But to like host like an entire restaurant full, you need like six or eight people cooking.
Yeah.
Plus thinking about like bathrooms for people to use, and then they're going in and out. And there's just like a few details that may or may not work. So I'm in the pro. We can all sit outside, but the logistics might be tough.
We'll find out. Gotcha. You'll have different people employing in different states, different cities are employing different things. And we'll hopefully get some data that we can all use.
I still can't get over the going to the bathroom on the golf course situation. I think for guys, sure, that's simple and easy for you, but listen, there are female golfers too.
Like, yeah, wear a skirt. It's easy.
Well, it's not that hard. In fact, I saw there's a new golf bag that has two steps on the side, so you can actually get up over the golf bag, Kathy, and piss into that.
As long as you play on a course that has some wooded areas, you're fine.
Wear a hippie girl skirt, and you could just squat, and nobody would even know.
Mm-hmm. Ed, why are you wearing a hippie girl skirt?
I like the way it touches my balls.
The Jersey Shore will open in time for Memorial Day. Governor Phil Murphy said Thursday during his daily COVID-19 briefing, the beaches and lakefronts can reopen, but gatherings such as concerts and fireworks will be prohibited. The reopenings will take effect on May 22nd. He also said that each town must establish its own capacity limitations and way to enforce social distancing. Restaurants on boardwalks can remain open for takeout only. Amusement parks and playgrounds will remain closed.
Hey, Kathy, you know what my wife bought for the beach is there are these quote-unquote wind screens, right? But we're going to use them as stay away from us screens.
Right.
Right? So they're basically just these little fences that that you can stake into the sand that are supposed to help with, you know, blocking the wind from
May
your
I tell
little camping
you that
area.
Prior to any pandemic,
yeah.
any time you can put a screen between you and someone else at the beach, that's a win.
Yeah.
I always want you to leave me
alone. Aren't those also known as a kite? Like, won't that take off in the wind at some point?
No, because it's a meshy material, so the wind can kind of go through it.
You mount them in cement press.
Yeah, I understand. Nice.
No meshies.
No meshies.
That's right. Meshies were handies that you would do through mesh shorts, right?
Mouthies and Kathy's
friends who are remaining celibate.
No, not Kathy's friends. My
or
friends.
Casey's friends who are remaining celibate would do what they called meshies.
Governor was talking about that.
Yeah, you can do it on the beach now.
Try a meshie.
Okay, no, you can't. The Jersey Shore will be open in time for Memorial Day weekend with social distancing guidelines in place, Murphy tweeted. The shore is central to our Jersey identity, and we want to ensure that families can safely enjoy it this summer.
Murphy no said, seating, but meshies, yes.
Murphy said restroom facilities at parks will reopen as long as they undergo frequent and proper cleaning. He also urged people to wear a mask or face coverings while in more crowded areas or while waiting for food on the boardwalks. Playgrounds, rides, arcades, picnic areas, and water play equipment will remain closed. A dry run will be held this Saturday, May 16th, in Sea Isle, Strathmere, and Ocean City, so officials can work on capacity management. Wildwood and North Wildwood beaches are open to sunbathing. Wildwood Crest will likely open the beaches for sunbathing this weekend. No decision has been made on full beach access in Longport, Margate, and Ventnor. Officials in Cape May say that they will wait until May 22nd to allow sunbathing.
It is a decision.
I know. During the Thursday briefing, Murphy said an additional 1,216 New Jersey residents tested positive for COVID-19, bringing the statewide total to 142,704. An additional 244 people have died in New Jersey from coronavirus-related complications. The statewide death toll is 9,946. In sports this morning. Major League Baseball pitcher Blake Snell was one of the first players to dismiss the league's reported proposal to get the 2020 season started up during the pandemic. Snell, the Tampa Bay Rays ace, who won the 2018 American League Cy Young Award, made his thoughts known during an interview saying it was too risky to play in 2020 while taking a reduced pay cut. For me, to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. The pitcher was set to make $7 million under normal circumstances. He later clarified that he was focused on his own safety, saying, I mean, honestly, it's just scary to risk my life to get COVID-19 as well as not knowing and spreading it to others. I just want everyone to be healthy and get back to our normal lives because I know I miss mine. Whatever sports do return, they'll most likely be played in empty stadiums and arenas, but what's unknown is what it will look like and sound like on TV. Fox play-by-play announcer Joe Buck said that plans are already in place for the network's anticipated NFL broadcast. Fox is planning to do its best to simulate a normal atmosphere by pumping in crowd noise and creating digital fans in the stands of empty NFL stadiums.
I love this, but what they should do is, since you have that capability, put in like Romans from the Colosseum.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
you know, like,
oh my God, there's a centaur in the audience.
Nero. Emperor Nero.
Yeah. I like
that.
All kinds. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
All those creatures from Aquaman that you jumped on the boat. You know.
Put them in the audience.
Or the audience from Phantom Menace, the pod races.
Oh my God, that's perfect. Yeah.
That's really funny. I hope they do that. I'm interested to see or to hear how it sounds.
Are those sand people in the audience?
You have all that stuff. It's just sitting there. All those digital crowds.
Police in South Florida are trying to find New York Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker and Seattle Seahawks cornerback Quentin Dunbar after multiple witnesses accused them of an armed robbery at a party, authorities said Thursday. Miramar police issued arrest warrants for both men Thursday on four counts, each of armed robbery with a firearm. Baker faces an additional four counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. The residential community is located between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. 22-year-old Baker and 27-year-old Dunbar were attending a cookout at a Miramar home Wednesday night when a fight broke out and Baker pulled out a handgun, the warrant said. Baker, Dunbar, and two other men began robbing other people at the party of thousands of dollars in cash, watches, and other valuables, witnesses told investigators. Police said the four men then fled the home in three vehicles, a Mercedes-Benz, a Lamborghini, and a BMW. And finally, 23 years after Mike Tyson bit off a piece of Evander Holyfield's ear, the boxing greats are in talks to stage a third fight for charity. Holyfield told the English newspaper The Sun, "I would do that. Yes, I want to fight Mike Tyson. I can definitely handle him, but Mike would have to want to do it as well." Holyfield and Tyson fought each other twice before retiring, with Holyfield pulling off upsets both times. The first happened in November of 1996, an 11th round TKO by Holyfield, and the rematch came 7 months later when Tyson was disqualified for biting Holyfield. The 53-year-old Tyson has recently teased his return to the ring, posting a training video to Instagram, and his trainer Rafael Cordero told ESPN that Tyson's comeback is not a joke, even though his last fight was in 2005. Holyfield, who was 57, last fought in 2011. And that's what I have for you this morning.
There are no sports. And that was the longest sports report we've ever had.
It was longer than the actual news.
It was twice the length of the music. So,
well, you know what? We chatted during the sounds and the people being digitally imposed into the stadiums. And
we've done that before, but that was just anyway.
And I actually added a story. So Nick sent over his normal three stories, but okay. I had added a story.
I got you. Well, the Sam people like. All right, we need to hurry up.
Come on, God, it's almost
6:30.
Come on, Jesus. Let's do this.
I'm going to have to edit my entertainment news. Thank you very much.
No.
Thank you very much.
Are you blaming me?
Damn
you, Nick. He writes the sports.
Damn you to hell,
Kathy. Give me one story.
Damn you, Nick.
Kathy, what sports story did you add?
I added the one about the arrest warrants.
Okay.
No, you guys didn't like it.
No, I did because it was a New York Giant.
Actually. Okay, well, here's what we got to do, and I want to jump to this first because we need to announce our coolest teacher from yesterday. We had thrown out, or actually drawn, the name. Kathy did virtually. I pulled the name out, and she read it. Delran High School in New Jersey, and we gave you 24 hours to vote. The students certainly did, and they came back with a name, and we would like to award the coolest teacher of the year to Mrs. Karen Schmidt.
Mrs. Schmidt
teaches accounting.
Whoa.
Wow. I don't think we've ever had an accounting teacher.
Yeah.
Win. And she is also, it says here, and freshman seminar.
Okay.
So I guess is the incoming freshman teaches her, kind of gets
her. She seminars them up.
I'm not probably really like sure. A liberal arts type of a class, maybe.
Okay. Well, anyhow, Mrs. Schmidt is apparently pretty damn cool. Students dig her. They voted for her.
Clearly.
And so we're excited to award her with the coolest teacher of the year coffee mug. I don't have much information about her, so maybe we will find out later on this morning. Her school webpage, however, has the motto, business education, an investment in your future.
Huh.
So we do know that. She's concerned about your future. So let Mrs. Schmidt know that she won, and maybe we'll hear from her later on. Who's choosing next?
Nick is next, so you're going to have to choose for him.
All right, I'll pull the name out. I will hold this up to the phone so Nick can name this. And Nick, can you see it?
Yes, Villa Joseph Maria High School.
Hey. Villa Maria is what they call it.
Villa Maria.
Which one?
It says Villa Marie.
Yeah.
Not Maria.
Villa Marie, okay.
Villa Joseph Marie High School in Southampton, Pennsylvania. There's okay. more than one?
Well, so there's Villa Maria, and that so is in Malvern. That. It's not right. Villa Maria. It's Villa St. Joseph Marie. Okay.
All right. Villa Joseph Marie High School is what I have written on this piece of paper, with this, which is in Southampton. We're going to give you guys 24 hours to vote and let us know who do you think the coolest teacher of the year has been. And it's easy. You just text the word teacher to 39333. We send this link back to you. Done deal. All right. So let's find out. We have a couple of guests on the show. We're going to have Hal Sparks just checking in with friends of the show, as we have been doing for the past several weeks. We'll talk to him around 9 o'clock. And we also have Bill and Jean Beretta. Children's author and also voice of the Sesame Street characters.
And the Muppets in general, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get to all that stuff a little bit later on this morning, taking a break, coming back with a stupid question entertainment report as well. We'll be back very shortly. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to do a stupid question this morning, and let's see, we're going to give away a $50 Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse gift card. And here's a question for you. During Woodstock, Carlos Santana was so high on LSD during his performance, he has said that he thought his guitar was what?
Oh, can't wait to hear this.
215-263-WMMR is the number. During Woodstock, Carlos Santana was so high on LSD during his performance, he had said that he thought his guitar was actually what?
Dude, if he was super high and he played like that?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
He should be dosing all the time.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR is the number. Now, we're going to go through some birthdays while we are awaiting your answer. Today is Friday, May 15th, and we'll start with one from the world of U2, because Brian Eno celebrates his birthday, and he is a longtime producer.
He might have produced, did he produce the album with Vertigo?
He might have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has played on, produced, or engineered albums for acts like U2, Talking Heads, David Bowie, Coldplay, Devo, Roxy Music, and more. He is 72 years old today.
People love working with him, apparently.
Madeleine Albright, ooh, former U.S. Secretary of State. Yeah. She's 83 years old, Casey. She's out of your range. Man. So, yeah.
Remember, she brought the basketball to Kim Jong Il.
I don't remember that.
It was a big gift because he was such a basketball fan.
Yeah.
And then they had a 1-on-1. It was great.
He's 83. George Brett, Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball player, and had a wonderful viral video for a while of him describing how he crapped his pants. It was hilarious.
It was wonderful.
67 years old today. A guy who's been by here a number of times. We love him. Chaz Palminteri celebrates his birthday. 68 years old. Actor and writer for A Bronx Tale.
You know, I forgot he's the main nemesis in Analyze.
Yes.
This.
And Analyze This. You're right.
Yeah, yeah,
yep. Primo Sedana.
Right.
I think is his name in that. Yep.
He's great, man. He's so good.
And he's the detective in The Usual Suspects as well.
Yeah.
And he does that one-man Bronx Tale show. I would like to see it someday. And he comes through Philly like every other year and does it. So he's 68 today. Jamie Lynn Sigler, The Sopranos. Meadow, right?
Was yes. Name?
Yeah.
And she also played Heidi Fleiss in the greatest example of miscasting, because she's very attractive. Heidi Fleiss, not so much.
She is 39 today.
Married to Lenny Dykstra's son?
I believe so.
Okay, all right.
Emmett Smith celebrates his birthday today. I know. He's a cowboy. Always has been. But he's one of the greats. He's 51 today. Let's double back to the question today with concerning Woodstock. It's Wavy Gravy's birthday.
Wavy Gravy.
Counterculture icon is what he is labeled as. His real name is Hugh Romney.
Yes, he's actually an accountant,
and he is one of the he's one of those colorful characters directly involved with Woodstock.
Is he part of the Romney family, Preston?
He might be.
Is he Mitt's uncle?
He's 84 today. Ahmet Zappa, son of Frank Zappa, is 46. And then the last birthday I saw is David Krumholtz. He's an actor, and on the show Numbers, police procedural show, he was the smart guy.
Okay.
He was the math dude. He's also in the movie Ray and 10 Things I Hate About You. He's kind of one of, you're like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He's one of them. He's 42 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. During Woodstock, Carlos Santana was so high on LSD during his performance, he has said that he thought his guitar was what? 215-263-WMMR, that's the number, and I am going to go to, let's go to Aaron. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Aaron, do me a favor. Tell me what Carlos thought his guitar was because he was tripping so bad.
A snake.
A snake, yes.
Yeah.
Hang on a second, Aaron. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a $50 Nabrazza Brazilian Steakhouse gift card. Nabrazza's Brazilian Steakhouse in Horsham is open for takeout and curbside pickup, and they have two menus to choose from, Nabrazza and the Iron Abbey. Plus, a large selection of beer and wine is available for curbside pickup. The bottle shop is open, and Nabrazza has added a butcher shop to go. Complete information at Nabrazza.com. So, Mary Kate Olsen and Oliver Sarkozy are joining the ranks of the ugly mid-pandemic Hollywood splits.
Got news for you. They were ugly prior to the split.
Mary Kate filed an emergency order to divorce her financier husband of 5 years, with reports claiming that things are, quote, ugly between them and that she is done with constant drama.
Do you know anybody who, when this marriage occurred, said, oh, that's a good match?
Oh, my God, no.
That looks like that's right.
Yeah. So it was an emergency order to divorce. Mary Kate reportedly fled their New York City apartment to spend time with her sister, Ashley. TMZ reports that Oliver has responded by giving her until May 18th to vacate their apartment. That's this weekend, gang.
So she's a billionaire.
Or Monday, I guess.
They're billionaires, right? So what?
Yeah.
She's good to go.
Yeah, she doesn't need him.
Yeah.
And he is a...
He's related to...
Nicholas,
so, yeah.
So she is claiming in legal filings is impossible to leave in light of the pandemic. In response, she's filed an emergency divorce petition to protect her property until May 30th and is asking that her ironclad prenup be enforced. A source tells Us Weekly her business interests and fortune are protected, including fashion lines The Row and Elizabeth and James, plus her earnings as a child star with Ashley. All told, she is said to be worth $500 million.
Jesus.
Meanwhile, proving once again that appearances in Hollywood are deceiving, and images from the time the pair were last seen in public shows them apparently happy and just joyful. But the pair were attending the Lionsgate Global Champions tour in Madrid last year. So,
I mean, listen, that kind of money is unfathomable, right?
Yes.
But when you have that kind of money, you know, like if she were to suddenly only be worth $100 million... like, she'd probably be crapping her pants. Like, oh, my God, how am I going to survive on this?
Right. You think you have this ridiculous buffer that keeps you well outside the realm of poverty. But I guess maybe to some it matters. I'm sure it does.
Listen.
I mean, there's, again, it's something I can't even wrap my mind around, that level of wealth.
Yeah. The show Billions, obviously, is a fictional show. But there is, you know, early on, like the first or second season, you know, he's in the... in jeopardy of losing a lot of money and only being left with $100 million. And his wife is like, oh, my God, Axe, like, we can't live like that.
Well, you lose status, too. And status is very important.
Yeah,
maybe more so in some cases than the actual bank account.
Yep. Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas' relationship is heating up. Not only are they quarantining together and wearing matching heart necklaces.
Ooh, like mitzvah coins.
He is doing everything he can to make her feel celebrated on her birthday, according to reports. This source tells Us Weekly exclusively Ben went over the top to make her happy and make her birthday with him be extremely special. Ana feels like the luckiest girl to be with him.
You know what he did for her? He got her a cameo message from Gary Lauer.
Oh, really?
It's your birthday.
We need to do those.
We should.
We need to do cameo messages with Gary Lauer. Affleck took Armas to Joshua Tree National Park on April 30th to celebrate her 32nd birthday. He worked hard to make her birthday both safe and memorable, a source said. He was previously, of course, married to Jennifer Garner, and they stay close together. She was married to actor model Mark Clotet.
Who?
I don't know.
Who?
But the name is here, so I thought I would pass it along. Arnold Schwarzenegger is always famous for announcing that he'll be back. And it's happening once again in a very exciting way. The actor has reprised his Predator character Dutch for the very first time since 1987 in, of course, Predator. Dutch is about to be launched into the Predator Hunting Grounds video game, with EW reporting that Arnie himself will be hitting the game later this month.
This game is supposed to be great. It's we were talking to somebody who's playing it on the show. I forget who was.
You're right.
And they loved it.
Forgot who that was. Yeah. The actor has confirmed the news on Twitter, sharing an image of his video game character and writing, "It was really fantastic to step back into this role. I had such a fun time working on this, and I hope you enjoy playing with Dutch as much as I enjoyed."
Get to the chopper!
As much as I enjoyed voicing him.
In that movie, it's a solid performance. I know you tend to think of him being a little bit more monochromatic in his acting, but in that movie, he has what he needs to have to make you believe all this stuff.
From May 26, players will have the opportunity to purchase downloadable content that will allow them to play as Dutch, and they'll also be able to hear tapes that were apparently recorded by the character following the events of the movie. Kind of cool.
You know,
I love stuff like that.
He's picked up in the helicopter, mm-hmm. and you know who the pilot in the helicopter is, Kevin Peter Hall, who played Predator. Oh. So the guy in the Predator costume is actually the pilot in the helicopter. He also played Harry in Harry and the Hendersons.
I love that. Yeah. Did he and Stallone have a rival?
They hated each other.
Did they hate each other?
They literally hated each other, and then now they are the best of friends. And Stallone is hilarious when he talks about Arnie's ability to get under his skin. But now they post stuff, there was a great Instagram video. The Rocky collection came out. You've got to get this.
Yeah.
You know, so they're really supporting each other.
Because in Predator, he basically hides from the Predator in mud.
Yeah.
And in Rambo, is it Rambo 2 or the first one?
Where he's facing off against Predator.
No, where he hides.
It's invisible.
It's the second one, I believe.
It's the second one where he hides in mud.
Right, yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
They both hide in mud.
The
game enables players to play as
hide in mud.
As either a member of a human fire team trying to complete your mission before the Predator tracks you down, or as the Predator itself, which sees you using your enhanced abilities to try and kill your targets.
Come back to America, walking through the airport, totally invisible. Nobody can see me because I'm a Predator.
Speaking about Dutch's tapes, which the player can unlock as they progress in rank, Chief Executive Officer at video game developer Threephonic, his name is Jared Gerritsen, said the premise of it is Dutch recorded these tapes since 87 after the first movie. Throughout these tapes, there are those arrows pointing to what he's doing, kind of like safeguards if he gets killed or captured. These tapes are going to be used to essentially keep his story going.
So I love the first Predator. I love Predators. The one you got to watch that, Preston. The one that takes place on the planet with Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
The second one with Danny Glover was okay.
I never really gave it any time.
You remember when that movie was released? It was actually taking place in the future by a couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think was actually supposed to be a full Predator movie that kind of came as they were going into production.
Was there any mud in that movie?
There was lots of mud.
Lots of mud.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm getting too old for this mud.
I am looking forward to this. In December last year, Quentin Tarantino said that a third film in the Kill Bill franchise was definitely in the cards, but warned fans that it might not arrive for at least 3 years. And now it looks like that promise is still on track, as the director is still in talks with Uma Thurman about another sequel, which would be awesome.
Am I hearing correctly that the working title is Four Weddings and a Kill Bill?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's what they're working on. Now, in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, actor Vivica A. Fox, who played Beatrix Kiddo's assassin nemesis Vernita Green, said that she was excited about the prospect of a Kill Bill Volume 3. She said, "The last I've heard is that Quentin and Uma have been talking." She said, "And I'd love for them to figure it out. Quentin is great with flashbacks and figuring out some kind of way to make his characters alive again in a film. So I'm really hoping that Vernita Green gets her revenge."
So I really love both, films and the Kill Bill series. But I have to say my current favorite Quentin Tarantino is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie.
Immediately after Green's death, her daughter, Nikki, walks into the room and is told by Kiddo that if she wants to avenge her mother's death, she will be waiting. So that's obviously a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Fox believes this storyline is why the film hasn't been made yet, telling the Hollywood Reporter, I think they're waiting for Vernita's daughter to grow up. Okay. Discussing the rigorous training that the actors had to endure before filming Kill Bill, Fox said, oh, my God, I trained for 6 months. I literally went from a size 8 to a size 2. It was intense and grueling, but I loved every single bump and bruise. I'll never forget the fourth and final day of filming the fight. I counted 30 bruises on my body, and I was proud of every single one of them. I earned them.
Preston, they shouldn't fight. They shouldn't wait for her to grow up. They should have her fight like an 11-year-old.
Yeah, right?
Just hey, beat the crap out of an 11-year-old.
So did you guys ever see the raw footage of Uma Thurman? I got to hit the button. Driving the car and crashing into that tree.
Yes, it's footage. Yeah, it's pretty dangerous.
Have you ever seen
it? She got hurt, right?
Yeah. So she wanted a stunt driver, and Quentin was like, "No, I need, man.
If you want to be a good shot, man. Yeah,
I need this shot. I need this shot. I need this shot."
And she wasn't comfortable with the car. Yeah,
and she ended up crashing the car. Yeah. And it was pretty nasty crash.
Yeah.
I don't think she obviously doesn't hold a whole lot of ill will towards him, but this is
he exactly made it up to her with mud.
Yeah, trying to avoid.
We're watching footage of it. Yeah, she hit that hard, man. And it could have been anybody driving because it's a shot from the rear.
Yeah,
yep.
But
could have been Quentin in a blonde wig.
Yeah, it could have been.
Absolutely, I love those movies. So
I'll give you a dollar if you can name the car that she was driving.
Oh, I keep
Carmen
a dollar.
Ghia.
What was it?
Carmen Ghia.
Carmen Ghia?
Yeah, the Volkswagen. You remember that? Yeah.
No, I don't remember that. Interesting.
Love that car.
All right, so what else we have here for you? A child on the set of Scary Movie.
Mm-hmm.
No, why did they do this, Jesus?
Oh, no.
Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen conceived a child on the set of Scary Movie.
Wow, who's writing this copy, Yoda?
Well, here's what they do. They put headlines, so bold headlines up here, and then the story's supposed to come after that.
Right, so you go through it, you vet it, you underline and circle what you want to relay.
I edit when I need to.
Right.
And what I didn't realize is this headline was actually part of the sentence.
Right.
And so, idiots.
But they don't do that all the time.
They don't do that all the time. Denise Richards revealed that she and her ex, Charlie Sheen, conceived their daughter on the set of the movie. When she appeared on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. The 49-year-old spoke fondly of all of his work, saying, I think he's a great actor. The first movie that I saw my dad took me to see was Platoon when I was younger.
We freaking had sex.
So,
no.
Dude, you sound exactly like him when you do that.
Charlie Sheen has been small.
What did you guys do?
We had freaking had sex.
Charlie Sheen.
And then there was one point where I was going, I'm going to shoot. And I did.
Did you guys do it on a Mercury surfboard?
Absolutely. And then we're rolling around in the mud, just like in Predator.
Yes. So she said, I like all his movies.
A freaking warlock.
Isn't she, Kathy, you watched the reality show with her on it, right? Was it you? Or was it Steve? Steve, you did, no, I know.
A little bit.
And she's, you guys were telling me she's a stone cold moron.
Denise, yes. No, I know what you're talking about. The Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Oh, no, her own reality show.
Was
she on both?
Yeah, she's on Real Housewives now of Hollywood. So she's, I don't know, but you can't help but like her.
You know?
Yeah, I find her very likable.
Okay.
I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
God, remember that?
I'm a freaking warlock with tiger's blood and I pissed Bosco.
I've been riding it on a Mercury surfboard.
Mercury surfboard.
You pissed Bosco?
Piss Bosco. Freaking warlock who pisses Bosco.
Where the hell did that come from?
You can't even wrap your mind around that.
I pissed Bosco.
You borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Bosco pissing bastard.
Unplug this brain, this guy's pissing Bosco.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah. And I fart funfetti.
Funfetti?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I love it too.
Wait a minute.
Pissing Bosco up front and farting funfetti in the back.
What's funfetti?
It's which, like cake.
Like cake.
Is it cake?
But it has like sprinkles on it.
In it.
Frickin' sprinkles.
Sprinkles in it.
In it. Funfetti.
Not on it.
No.
In
no.
it.
In it.
In it.
We could just hired you at kids' parties to piss Bosco and fart funfetti.
Watch this, kids.
You're the catering.
Right, when I watch. Look at the end of my penis. Watch. And your kids in the back are getting a different show.
Wow.
This is funfetti up here, Preston, on the screen.
Yeah. Okay.
Have a good time, kids. Much better than that freaking pony you were going to hire.
Uncle Charlie's birthday roundup.
Right.
Yeah.
Cowboy Pete wasn't able to make it. We hired this guy, C. Sheen.
Oh, God. The balloon animal, the cowboy wasn't able to make
wasn't
it.
Able
so
to make it. Yeah. So they hired C. They hired Sheen.
C. Sheen.
We thought it stood for cowboy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was that clip you were going to play?
The one I was on made Sinatra, Flynn, Jagger, Richards, all of them just look like, you know, droopy-eyed, armless children.
Droopy-eyed.
Freaking armless children.
Armless children.
Okay. Jagger, McCartney, everybody.
Okay.
Suit up, boot up, and let's get this thing back on the air.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
Freaking mind blower, both Rambo and Predator.
Yeah.
Place in the mud. Freaking mind blower. Just connect the cables to your brain and let that sink in. I mean, how many movies have revolved around mud?
There's a movie called Mud with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Right, man. Freaking
mud. You got Mudbound as well.
Yep.
You've been sitting on that for a little while, thinking of all things mud this
no,
morning?
No, no.
He's just validating my point.
All right.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you. Thanks.
It's mud, right? Like
absolutely. Kids love it, too. I bring it to the parties.
Here's some Bosco funfetti, and I'll go play with the mud, kids. Wow. Okay.
Listen, Steve didn't take the bait initially with the mud thing, so it's paying back in dividends and other.
Absolutely. It's an investment in comedy. Think of the things that Casey says is a Christmas club.
Yep. Okay. Ari Leyendyke Jr. has divided Bachelor Nation.
By the way, Preston, go back to a conversation we had about which bachelor was the bachelor with that uncomfortable video, whether he's walking around the house and he had proposed to the one girl and then changed his mind.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Ari Leyendyke
is the one who did that. Yep.
Okay. He has apparently divided Bachelor Nation with his new platinum do.
I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking crazy.
Is it freaking crazy?
It looks like Roy Batty from Blade Runner.
Well, he accurately captioned the pic. It's a vibe. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Jared Habon quipped, Ari, stop.
Wow.
And he wrote, ha, 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 stop. He wrote, let me read this correctly. Ha, 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 stop. Tashia Adams joked, you guys are too much.
Who are these people?
I'm actually really digging it. I guess they're members of Bachelor Nation.
Oh, okay. More than likely.
And that's all I have for them. That's it. That was everything from Bachelor Nation.
Ari freaking Leyendyke.
Mm-hmm. The BBC director of content, Charlotte Moore, says that filming will be resumed on Top Gear and EastEnders next month after the widespread shutdown amid coronavirus.
How long has EastEnders been on?
I don't even know what it is.
It's a very popular show.
I don't know it.
Am I correct in thinking that's a like a soap opera?
Is that one of the ones that's like Doctor Who, though, Steve, where it has a whole bunch of different iterations over the years?
I think it does. I think it's like an upstairs, downstairs, and but I think it's a real, a family drama, right?
So it started in 1985, but it's just had a lot of different actors in the roles over the years.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who love that show.
7,786 individual episodes.
What?
EastEnders. Yeah, that's how long it's been around.
That's good freaking God. Crazy.
All right, so...
Freaking EastEnders, man.
Moore said how we make shows...
More sad, bro.
We'll continue to... it's no sad, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To evolve the... In the months ahead, lockdown restrictions are eased and government advice develops, but we all want the whole industry to safely return to production. Our shared goal is to find new ways of working to help fire up the engines of British TV production safely and sensibly. So they're going to return to filming.
I think if you want to get an industry that might be the next wave or the next thing you could really make a lot of money on in Hollywood is get your COVID mask that resemble the their chin and mouth of the actor who's...
Yes.
Right. So that,
yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
And then put a green screen around the mouth so they can cargo
and they
that
can,
thing.
They can make it. Yeah. Also invest in mud.
Right.
In
mud.
Yeah. It's all the new rage. All right. We have movies opening this weekend. Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, man.
All right, two movies to mention this weekend. One of them is Capone.
I was watching the trailer for this last night, and it's with Bane, with
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. And first off, he looks unrecognizable, but I think the majority of the movie, Preston, it revolves him and at the point in his life when he had syphilis and was going crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like another full
Capone. After he got out of prison?
Yeah.
Okay. Or did he die in prison?
No, he died out of prison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rated R, it's a drama directed by Josh Trank, stars Tom Hardy, Linda Cardellini, Matt Dillon, Kyle MacLachlan, Noel Fisher, and others. It is about a once and ruthless businessman and bootlegger who ruled Chicago with an iron fist, Alphonse Capone. He was the most infamous and feared gangster of American lore. At the age of 47, following nearly a decade of imprisonment, dementia rots Alphonse's mind and his past and becomes present. Harrowing memories of his violent and brutal origins melt into his waking life. As he spends his final year surrounded by family with the FBI lying in wait, this ailing patriarch struggles to place the memory of the location of millions of dollars he hid away on his property.
So this, you remember the Geraldo, the vault, the Capone's vault? That's what he was hoping was going to be in there.
Yeah.
And this is a legend. Do you remember years ago? So there was, you know, obviously De Niro played Capone in The Untouchables.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a movie with Ben Gazzara playing Capone. And do you remember that one of his lead henchmen was Sylvester Stallone?
No.
Yeah, and they depict the dementia in the movie and when it's rotting his brain. It's pretty cool.
Interesting. All right, and then the other movie opening is Scoob.
Scoob.
Yep, it's called Scoob. It's a Scooby-Doo movie. Rated PG action-adventure directed by Tony Cervone and stars Will Forte as Shaggy.
I should have been best friend.
Mark Wahlberg is voicing Blue Falcon. Jason Isaacs as Dick Dastardly.
Who's playing the Warlock?
Gina Rodriguez is Velma. Zac Efron is Fred. And Amanda Seyfried is Daphne.
That's a good cast.
Yeah. Scoob reveals how lifelong friends Scooby and Shaggy first met.
Huh.
And how they join with young detectives Fred, Velma, and Daphne to form the famous Mystery Inc. Now the hundreds of cases solved and adventures shared, Scoob and the gang face the biggest, most challenging mystery ever. A plot to unleash the ghost dog Cerberus upon the world.
Okay.
As they race to stop this global dogpocalypse, the gang discovers that Scooby has a secret legacy and an epic destiny greater than anyone ever imagined.
You know who I never had time for? Scrappy-Doo.
Oh, yeah. Scrappy was like...
Annoying.
You know, there's fan fiction that believes that Shaggy is the most powerful super human being that ever lived.
Is that right?
It's weird.
What's that based on?
I don't remember. My sons told me about it, and a couple little nuggets of it were like, all right, that's interesting.
I can make you explode with my mind.
Maybe. All right, we have clips. Clips! Just threw in the trash can.
That's how good these clips are.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
In this clip, Capone director Josh Trank talks about why he thinks this part of Al Capone's life is rarely explored by other directors. Here we go.
It's a riskier story to tell. It wasn't even anything that I had thought about. It only came to me because I was in a certain part of my life where I couldn't stop thinking about Al Capone in a vegetative state many years after being released from Alcatraz. But I can understand why it wouldn't be the most obvious place to go.
Well, I don't get the rain, they ain't cold, but they're...
So, Capone is available to watch on demand now.
Yep.
You can check it out. All right, next clip. Here we go. Scooby-Doo returns to a large theatrical scale for the first time since 2004 in the animated movie Scoob, we were just talking about. In this clip, cast member Zac Efron explains how director Tony Cervone attracted him to join this project.
He cares for the material. A lot of the things that I think are kind of ingrained in my memory or that mean a lot to me, they mean so much more to him. And it's fun to pick and choose from what he knows, the various kind of colors and ins and outs of the characters that I've never even thought of before.
Dude, it feels so good.
Scoob is available to watch on demand today as well. And there you go. That's the entertainment stuff for you today. We have a number of things taking place. We have a new coolest teacher. It is Mrs. Karen Schmidt from Delran High School. That's the school we chose yesterday. She is an accounting teacher, and maybe we'll hear from her later today. And that means we drew a new name. Today's coolest teacher high school is, they just go by Villa.
Yep.
Villa in Holland.
All right.
In Holland, PA. Enough. So if you go to school there, text the word teacher to 39333. We're going to send you a voting link, and there you go. You're off and running.
And also to put today in context, I left the house not needing any jacket. Short sleeve shirt.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, you can wear shorts outside today. Absolutely. It's going to go up to 85 degrees. Passing little showers here and there this morning. Then after that, we're good to go. Partly cloudy skies. It's going to be fantastic. And tomorrow, 78. We have a great weekend. We just have a great weekend in store for everyone. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll run down what's up for the day. And by the way, tomorrow is the 15th anniversary of the start of the Preston and Steve Show here on MMR. We've been a show for longer than that, but we started here at MMR in 2005, 15 years ago tomorrow. So every song we play this morning is going to be a song from that year, 2005.
Blows my mind.
We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
In these difficult times, MMR reminds you, social distancing doesn't mean you can't still be social.
Good morning, my neighbors!
Connect with us on your favorite social media platform today. After all, since we're going to be here a while, let's make the best of it together. But safely. Because we don't know where your timeline has been.
Oh, my God.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Kathy, you said there was something you kept hearing honking at your house.
Yeah. So about probably 5 a.m. this morning, I started noticing when you kind of give, like, if somebody's not paying attention at a light, you give like a little boop, honk. You know, mm-hmm. not like a hold your horn in.
Little courtesy bump on that.
Yeah, a little
on that,
right. So mm-hmm. I started hearing that at like 5 o'clock, and you know, nothing. You know, I live at an intersection, so it's not that big of a deal. But I kept hearing it, and then during that last break, they started to get louder and then longer, and I heard a couple woo, and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Somebody decorated my front lawn and signs that say "Happy 90th birthday."
Somebody put signs on your lawn that says "Happy 90th birthday."
Who the hell would do that?
Wait, and there's one that says "Honk, Grandma is 90 today."
Really?
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Grandma!
Thank you so much.
Oh, well, Kathy, we thought we were going to be able to hear him. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, and I just opened the window. I was like, I need to open the window so they can hear it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, we did that, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. So we thought, because on occasion we've heard like a truck drive by in front of your house. Yeah. So, like, did you hear that? And we thought we would be able to hear the horns on the air. Damn it.
Yeah. So I originally thought it was my neighbors, because we'll kind of do things like that to each other. So I had originally texted them when I weighed down Casey. I was like, hey, there's signs in my lawn if you guys want to talk about it. And they were like, no, it's not us. I'm like,
I want to thank Lisa Betts and the gang at the Upper Bucks Free Press who made the signs for us. It was an experiment, and at least Kathy got a kick out of it, so that's good.
I did.
We were hoping, because, like, there's over the past, a month, however long you've been there from your house, we could hear trucks, we could hear, traffic, when especially on, we picked today because it's going to be warm, and we know you will open up your windows occasionally.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we figured we'd be able to hear it. We didn't realize it would happen this quickly.
Yeah.
It was immediate. It was the second I walked downstairs, I started noticing it. I'm like, why is everybody honking?
I was gonna do it. I was going to put the signs in your yard because I go by, you know, in your general vicinity around 4:15, 4:30 a.m. But I'm like, man, they might start honking that early, and that might kind of tip our hand. So Brent Porsche did it on his way home. which is way out of his way, by the way. It's the opposite direction for him to go
home. So he left the station this morning and came here?
And he did,
Yeah, you thought you were hearing it at 5, but the signs didn't probably go in until about... the edict was to do it when you started the news.
Yeah, right around 6.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it when I came downstairs.
Okay, nice. But Lisa and her gang, actually, we met in a parking lot in exchange. She gave me the signs. We did a socially distant handoff. From Upper Bucks Free Press, and they gave us some more Frontline Heroes signs if we want to do those. So, yeah, we got more of those up and running.
So we still have some emails. You know,
Totally. So it was really cool of her and the gang to do that. So are they still out there, or did you remove them, Kathy?
No, they're out there. I'm going to celebrate my birthday.
All right, you got the window open?
Yes, the window's open.
Yeah, we won't want to be able to hear. Yeah.
All right, nice. So cool. And a wonderful little thing to do on our 15th anniversary here as the Preston and Steve Show at WMMR. It's our MMR birthday today.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild because, Steve, until yesterday or the day before, I mean, it had been mentioned weeks ago, but I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And we never really planned on doing anything big. And Bill and Chuck came to us. They're like, we're just going to schedule a bunch of songs from 2005, the year you guys came here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the year when we started here at MMR, and we were getting ready to have our first couple of shows. And I remember because we were coming from Y100, all right? So alternative rock radio station, or modern rock as we called it while we were there. And we were, there's a horn. I heard it. And so we were coming from Y100 to here. And I remember some concerns because the music that was being scheduled in the morning was like, you know, Def Leppard and stuff like that. And I was like, can we kind of back off of the cheesier side of the rock music to the people from Y100 that maybe have this music preference that are coming over here? We want to make sure that they find a home here at MMR as well and can blend in. So maybe we don't play quite that vein of music and you know, Nirvana, yes, absolutely, Red Hot Chili Peppers and things along those lines.
Also, while not turning off the existing listeners as well.
Wanted to find a happy medium for everybody. Yeah.
WMMR and...
Because we're fans of all that stuff.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I just wanted to bring these two audiences together and make sure that everybody was happy. And so I'm just remembering that first week or so of things that are popping up in my mind right now.
I remember the whole thing. So we you know, as we've recounted a few times before, we were over at Y100 and we had gotten wind that there was something that was going to go on, that perhaps Y100 was going to go away, and things got in motion. And other stations started coming to talk to us, and there was the time, you know, it was YSP and MMR. And obviously, we'd always dealt with, Pierre had always come out to events, Y100 events. It was always like, and it always felt like a nice friendship between the two stations, you know? And we had friends over at YSP as well, but it just seemed like, oh, wow. And the edict that I know, Preston, or the decision, or at least the caveat that got it done for both you and I, was we want to do the show we're doing right now, exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone comes, and we do it, you know, at the new location.
Yep.
And it took about a second for Bill and, at the time, John Fulham and everyone here to go, yep, let's do that.
Yeah.
And we were off and running. It was weird, though. It was weird being a part of that, you know?
Oh, most definitely. It was strange, and it was that transition of, you know, new equipment and a new location and doing the show and everything. Those first couple of weeks are just kind of a trial run to see how this is going to feel.
And we had very little time off because we had to go into a court situation to fight a non-compete.
Speaking of trial run.
I was so excited because we when you work in this business, a lot of times you have to sign what's called a non-compete clause in your contract that says that you can't walk across the street and work at a competing radio station.
Right.
There's usually an amount of time, like 6 months, where you're not going to be able to work because you're going to be stealing that audience away. I was looking forward to 6 months of doing nothing.
There you go.
Nothing. I'm like, this is going to be the greatest vacation of my life.
I think it had to be like a week and a half into it. We got the call.
Yeah, Bill's like, by the way, we're going to fight this non-compete, and we need you guys to start going to depositions and meet with the lawyers. I'm like, are you... God, thank you very much. Serious. So not only, and listen, it ended up being great.
It was great. We were thrilled
that
we walked
back into work, and we were only out of work for maybe a month or something like that. But that entire month, we spent
all of March and all of April for you guys
going to meetings with lawyers. Going to those of you who have been to depositions, you know what that's like. And then we had to go to court as well and testify and do all that stuff. God. And we eventually
and the reason
got out of it,
you fought it or that the station fought it was because that Y100 went away. Like if Y100 still had existed,
correct.
Yeah, sure. Then the non-compete would have
it had gone away. So Kathy,
it had gone away.
We the company that owned Y100 at that time was Radio One, and the transition was actually fairly. They were getting rid of Y100, and that was something that we were not supposed to know, but we got wind of it. So the deal was, though, in casual conversation, it had been said, you know, okay, you guys are going there, but you're not really competing with us. You're not, and that was said. And so we said, oh, well, yeah, we're really not. We're not the music that you're bringing in, it's not our audience. It's not that we're going to. I think at the time there was plans for a gospel station or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was certainly not us.
And I remember also before we actually went on the air, there were legal documents that said we couldn't go on the air until a certain date.
Right.
So we couldn't actually speak on the air. We had. We had these kids come in and read a statement.
I remember that.
We were coming over to MMR pretending like they were us. They actually used that in court against us, believe it or not.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. If I recall correctly, because it was all leading right up to that.
But we weren't speaking.
No, we weren't speaking, but they were using that as some kind of technicality. But anyhow, I remember our first appearance that we did was at the Maniunk Brew Pub. And it was before we had actually been on the air yet, if I recall.
Right.
Jackson was doing an appearance there. We were there. We could be there. We just couldn't go on the air. And the amount of people that showed up, and I remember Jackson saying off air to whoever was back here working the board, I think it was, he goes, man, he's like, women are here.
Yeah.
He's like, women? Girls like these guys. They listen to their show. And he was freaking out because MMR is mainly a male-dominated radio station, or had been for the longest time. And we've always prided ourselves. Our audience is 50-50 male-female. We love it that way.
Yeah.
Well.
The way life is.
I worked at MMR before you guys got there, and I went to MMR events before you guys got there. And there was a marked difference between the time before Preston and Steve and the time after Preston and Steve in, let's just say, the quality of women that would show up at MMR events.
You know, the thing, though, that was so cool is that we always loved Pierre, and there was friendships with people at MMR. And there was we all knew. Everybody knew. Jim McGuinn, who was our program director, MMR was a legendary rock station.
Pierre gave me his blessing to come try to work for you guys. And you know, that to allow one person to leave a radio station and go try out at another radio station is pretty much unheard of. But he loved you guys, still loves you guys, obviously.
Yeah.
And so he gave me his blessing to come work for you guys to try out and let me be on your show.
Do you remember, though, so we did that thing. We had the kids. I wrote a little script, I guess, for them to pretend that they were us. And then there was the first day on. And I remember people said, were you nervous? No, it felt so good to be back on.
It did.
On air. And it's, you know, and to get back into the groove, it's something you're so used to that it's like, yeah, you kind of need it.
I remember that first day. And I remember one of the subjects that we talked about, typical Preston and Steve, because we just talk about random stuff. We talked about turkey vultures that day. I don't know why.
Really?
That's one thing I remember.
We waited 2 months to talk about turkey vultures.
From that first day on the air, we talked about turkey vultures.
It must have been in the news. Maybe they were crapping on things or something.
Yeah, something like that. It was just it's the only thing I remember from that first day. I remember catching some resistance, which you're always going to get anytime you walk in. To a new radio station, and you start.
Hell, I've done it when radio stations have changed that I listened to and I liked people. I was like, what is this?
Sure, absolutely. There are people that I remember getting resistance from some people who, you know, getting hate mail and stuff like that initially. And
you knew it was going to happen.
Of course, and it was interesting. Yeah. But in fact, I got, you know, like people leaving messages, hate messages. I mean, it was just typical. Yeah.
But the ones that hurt were the ones from Bill.
Why was he doing that?
Why? I mean, I don't hear it. Go back to where you come from.
Yeah. But 15 years, man.
Yeah. We have audio of our very first show. I don't know what segment it is. Hopefully, it's
maybe turkey vultures. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Marissa had sent something over.
I haven't heard this. Now, whenever you hear voices from years ago, they sound different.
I am Preston Elliott.
Totally. I'll bet you our voices sound higher.
Yeah.
Let's listen. Here we go.
Well, it's the Preston and Steve show, and this is our...
A little more nasally there.
Our first day at WMMR, which is feels great.
Yeah.
It feels awesome to be back on the radio. I mean, I was like this close to becoming a raging alcoholic while we were off. So I'm glad that I'm forced to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning again.
So now you can get back to working out and jogging. And,
by the way, the time we were off, went to the gym 2 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 times in almost 3 months. About 25 years, I'll be there.
Excellent.
But you know what? It's been a strange course of events that's led to us being here. Obviously, our former radio station Y100 no longer exists, and we went through a few strange moments there. But finally, we found our way here and hope to stay for a long time.
Very welcoming here at WMMR, and really the thing that was most important to us is that they wanted to provide us with a chance to be on the air here in Philadelphia, and we loved being on the air so dearly for many years, and that's. That's always what we're looking for, is the ability to keep doing this because we love it so much.
Wow, your voice sounds way different.
It's way up.
Well, also, I wonder...
it's 15 years ago, man.
I surgically had my balls lowered. I think that helped.
Okay. Yeah.
There's just a few more seconds. Here we go.
There's a lot of people that we do want to say thank you to, but for those of you who are giving us a try for the first time, who have been an MMR supporter for years and years, thank you for listening this morning. We hope you're going to stick with us. And I've always said, just, if you're not used to us, give us about a week, and most likely you'll come around and be a part of the family, because that's kind of what it is.
And if not, we'll leave.
Yeah, we'll leave. We'll go away if you will.
I'd like to point out that Marissa was not necessarily a member of the of the show back then.
She was not.
She worked her way into... I mean, what she basically created her job because she's such an asset.
Yeah, well, her position kind of didn't exist. She was just kind of assisting us with the equipment at the initial onset.
We kept seeing her, we kept going. We want her to stay. Want her to stay.
Yeah. Well, working with the morning show.
She did.
Prior to us?
And so I met her, and I was working with her.
You actually came in and worked with the guys before us for a little bit.
I did.
Transition.
I worked for about a month or so before you guys got here because Bill didn't want to pay me without me actually working.
Yeah.
So I'm
not going to do that.
So I met Marissa then. Now, Marissa essentially was supposed to help, teach intern Joe, the ropes and all that sort of stuff. And she just proved herself to be an absolute asset. And so I asked, hey, can you give us 2 weeks? And then 2 weeks turned into three, turned into four, turned into, can we have her... Can we keep her, mommy?
Yeah, and then we talked to Bill about it, and Bill's like, and so then we went to John Fulham, and I remember they were asking why, and then eventually I just said, she's going to make the show better.
Yeah,
and he goes, okay. Well, then let's do it.
Yeah.
It was that easy.
John, and that's what makes John so cool. And
my God. Yeah, he understood. He listened. So, and then Marissa became the official sixth member.
Six.
So in the 15 years, it's everyone is, again, I say it, it's the truth, to be here and to love MMR and to love... honestly, the Beasley situation has been great.
You know, MMR has not changed that much in those 15 years either. You know, and it's been the Preston and Steve show and Pierre and Jackson. And, Matt was doing nights for a stretch and now Jackie's doing it. But Brent is doing overnights. But like the lineup at MMR has remained consistent pretty much since the Preston and Steve show came along.
For the most part. Yep.
It's remained, I believe, pretty much a-hole free.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody, we asked Brent. Porsche, who just did an overnight to go over and plant these signs on Kathy's lawn, and he absolutely was totally down with it.
Yeah,
of course.
There's only one douchebag I can ever think of that ever worked here.
I know you're thinking of, too.
Everybody knows.
Oh, we know that one douchebag, but he wasn't on air.
Yeah, he wasn't on air.
Wait,
DB sales guy?
No. And you know what? Let's just stop right there. We'll tell you off air. We don't need to go any further.
Preston's going to hold a sign up to the camera. You don't know exactly who it is.
I thought you guys liked Pierre.
Yeah.
No, he said not Pierre. On air.
Oh.
Yeah. Here, this'll.
Wait, let me see who you were saying.
Remember the license plate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't, do you?
I don't remember the first day on MMR one single bit.
Me neither, Kath.
I forgot his last name. Anyway.
But you know what? 2005 was a big year for you, Kath. That was the year you got married.
And that, yeah, so we had just gotten... When did we go to MMR? Oh, so...
2005.
No.
15 years ago tomorrow.
So 3 months later, yeah.
In fact, you were proposed to on the air at Y100, and I there was even money whether or not you would accept or not.
I was really concerned.
I was like, I don't know if she's going to say yes.
I'm like, she doesn't really seem to love him. I don't see any chemistry between those two. She might say no, man.
But we realize that Kathy doesn't love anybody.
I know. Yeah. We understand that love is not shown by Kathy. It's in there somewhere. She just doesn't show it.
Although, with age, I have gotten more emotional. I think.
You have.
Really?
Yeah,
she cries at birthday car parades now.
That's why I love these signs in my front lawn. It's very touching.
If you just joined us, actually, Kathy, we had signs placed on a front lawn that say, honk, grandma is 90.
Yes. Gum Gum is 90. Yes. Honk, please.
Grandma
today.
Is 90.
Oh, man.
I love that. So, well, here we are, 15 years, and that's pretty cool. We didn't think of it because usually you think in full decades.
Yeah.
You know, but listen, we're thrilled. Actually, Bill had a cool idea, and we all have these kind of wild things. They're license plates that are clipped up, and it's the date we joined MMR. So.
Yeah. Hang on a second here. Jeff wants to comment on something. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Yo, guys.
Yo, what's up, bud? Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
I would have given a left nut to hear you guys on a gospel station.
Oh, my God.
See, well, to be honest, Jeff, there would have been we would have had no place to go if they had cut us from the Y100 roster at the point we were supposed to be cut because there was no, we can't do this show on like OGL. There's no way we can do what we do with the content that we do.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have worked. But yeah, this was the perfect fit.
Yep.
Oh, man, it would have been funny though.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, because they were going to switch gospel. I forgot what they did.
You know what I remember about that first month or so? It was Bill, to his credit, wanted to make a splash. And so he made that arrangement where we would get the interview with Tom Cruise for War of the Worlds, which was coming out in June of 2005. When the caveat was we had to air like an hour-long commercial at 3 in the morning or whatever.
It was terrible.
To get the interview.
It was terrible.
And we never tape interviews, and we kept waiting, and we did it. We taped it in the afternoon, and it kept waiting and waiting, and it was going to go from 15 minutes, and then it would scale back to 10 minutes. And Casey, I just remember – actually, all three of you guys, just watching you guys get more and more frustrated and like, yes, it's Tom Cruise, but – I can't believe we're waiting around for this. And then it ended up being like 5 minutes. Yeah.
Or recording interviews. We did. Right. We were like,
enough.
We don't. Yeah. We decided to never do that unless, you know, it's some ridiculous. It's the Pope. Yeah. All right. We'll record an interview with the Pope.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yes.
You guys
Pope,
rock.
Man. Rock on. No sad, bro, right? I listen, I'm a P1.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, who?
Didn't we do Tom Cruise recorded?
Yeah, we did Tom.
And it was like 4 seconds.
Where are
Kathy,
you, Kathy?
Where were you?
Did you just say that?
Talked about?
We
that.
Were. That's what led to the conversation.
There's more. Okay. There's more with these signs. I'm sorry.
You got to take those signs down, Kathy.
No. There's a surprise. No.
People know where you live now.
Yeah, that's true. You may want to remove the sign.
Not at least until this happens.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, yes, and we did. We got pissed off.
Stop now.
All right. Anyway.
Remember Tom Cruise, guys?
Hey, didn't we record that interview for War of the Worlds or something like that?
By the way, somebody texts in and says, wow, I've been listening half my life now that I realized that we've been here for 15 years.
I remember, and you'll remember this, Preston, we were at Ford's Theater and Lincoln was sitting up in the balcony. And you said, dude, I think I heard something. And I'm like, no, just shut up and watch the play. Yeah. Next day. Lincoln shot. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, you know what? And during that time, Casey's had three kids. I've had a child. Preston, Caroline was born during that stretch. Mm-hmm. Kathy adopted Jace. I mean, like, our families have grown. I got married and divorced. Like, all of these things have happened over these years.
You did.
No, I mean, Steve, you had cancer. You know, like,
yeah,
we've had some serious ups and downs personally over that time. Yeah, but to be able to stick together for 15 years for any radio show is pretty remarkable, and to do it with some success over that amount of time is pretty nice.
I think I'm just realizing now that I made my first child while I had off
on air.
No, but when we were taken off the air in late February, and I pretty much made my child.
That's a non-compete baby,
right?
Yeah,
that's a non-compete baby.
A non-compete baby.
Okay.
So we need to thank Radio One. I need to thank Radio One personally for because
you guys wouldn't have had time to do it.
Yeah. No,
no.
You need like a good month to get up to the speed.
Yeah.
All right, I'm taking off my pants now.
Somebody texts in and says, "Who was on the show before us?" Who was that? I know that there was the Philly guys.
Yeah, but it had fallen apart because Mizzinelli had left. And
When I got here, it was Vinny the Crumb and Joe Conklin.
And Joe stuck around for a stretch.
Jay Thomas did a brief, the late, great Jay Thomas.
He did like a fill-in
for
a little while. We love Jay Thomas.
Right. Super nice guy.
Great guy. God bless his soul.
And there was a guy named Blaine who was part of it. He's up in New
York
now.
That's who it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Chuck D'Amico. Chuck was, you know, one of the anchors of the Philly guys, kind of running the board for a little while.
He was?
Oh, yeah.
Was he on air?
No, he was kind of like me, and that's how I learned the things that I've brought to this show is from Chuck doing it with the Philly guys.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, while I'm here, too, I want to give a little shout-out to Dan Colachico and the guys who run PressAndSteveRock.com.
Yes.
Which is like a fan site archive of all of our podcasts from over the time.
From the beginning, yeah.
From the very beginning. From Y100. There's a lot of stuff up there. I'm grabbing the one right now from the very first show, and I'm going to post it on our site right now. So
okay.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, by the way, if you want a repository of Preston and Steve stuff, go to PrestonSteveRock.com. They have all the things we don't have that go way, way back. It's a fan site.
There are some amazing photos. And, I mean, I say you guys because at the very beginning I wasn't really, I was just there.
You're the new guy.
I was the new guy. I feel like I'm still the new guy 15 years later. But like a 2.5 hour podcast put up for free 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Like that is just think about podcasts and how they're just part of our lives now. And you guys insisted from the very beginning, like no commercials. We're not doing
subscriptions. You can't charge. Yeah, you can't charge for it. If you're airing it for free the first time, there's no effing way you can charge for it. And it just blew our minds, and Bill always, to Bill's credit, he said just put up your best 10 minutes, and I said, Bill, if people are actually, you have your morning show that you listen to get someone to change their habit is really difficult.
Yeah.
Yes.
So with the podcast though, you could say, hey, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, listen to this show and see if you like it, and it actually worked. And so we had the whole show up, and then that I think was in large part initially here what helped us amass the audience as quickly as we did.
I remember pressing your first belly laugh on that first show. We have audio of it.
Your voice was so much higher. It was a turkey vulture joke.
That was a lot fatter then. That was like 260-pound Preston back in the day.
Well, that's what I was thinking when you said, I only went to the gym twice.
Yeah, totally.
Like, oh,
we were both gorillas at that time because we both had out-of-whack thyroids. Remember that?
Yeah, and I ate whatever I wanted to whenever I wanted to and drank heavily, so that kind of...
When did you give up smoking?
I gave up smoking right after Carter was born.
Okay.
So I think I had already, I'd quit smoking by the time.
At that time. Mm-hmm. Right.
When did you give up eating meatballs for breakfast?
Oh, man.
Give me a couple of meatballs. Send an intern to Wawa for a couple of meatballs, please.
Hey, I'm cooling off my meatballs.
Yeah.
But I did the same thing for a while. They're freaking good.
Yeah. They are good.
Freaking meatballs.
Freaking meatballs in a cup from Wawa. Freaking better than coffee.
Dude, that Wawa had a grill.
Chuck D'Amico, come in
here. Chuck
D'Amico.
Chuck
D'Amico was at our, remember when we had our first meeting with Bill Weston when he was trying to talk to us about coming over here?
I don't think Chuck was there.
Chuck was there.
You were there, Chuck?
I was there.
Okay.
Your memory's like mine.
Yeah,
remember who our waitress was?
Yeah. It was one of
Pam. Pam Long.
Yeah, she had worked at both Y100 and MMR.
Yeah, we wanted to go somewhere where nobody recognized us. Then our server comes up and we're like, how you doing, Pam?
Am I here so you guys can tell me I'm the douchebag?
No.
I want to see who got wrote it.
Yeah,
you know who it is.
Yeah, just write it down.
I still don't know who that is.
Mario Russo?
No.
Jim Nantes?
Here, he's going to write it down.
He's going to write that down for you.
You'll know who that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. We got to work now.
Time to work now.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. Yeah, 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, man? Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything.
Well, you were the ones that remember. We had no idea, and then you came in and talked to Bill saying it. You were saying about programming songs for that year. So.
Yeah, it was Eric's idea. Simon.
There we go.
Yeah,
even
he's
Eric.
Been
nice.
Really nostalgic lately.
What's funny is...
And lonely at home.
He's sitting at home. he's doing scrimshaw.
Chuck's one of my best friends now. Chuck and Preston are my best good work friends.
Right.
Preston and Steve and Chuck are my best good work friends.
We're the three best friends anyone could ever have.
But Chuck used to hate my guts. Like, hate my
really?
Guts.
I yeah. didn't tell this story.
I didn't like him on the show, on yeah. your show, at yeah. Y100.
And
here.
People are listening right now like, yeah, I hear totally
you. I always yeah. felt I like... I always speak. Felt like he was the peanut gallery in the back with the stupid comment. And I'm like, why does he have a microphone? Yeah. Yeah. And then I think I gave him a hard time. I was doing some overnights at Y100. I call him and heckle him and stuff.
He used to call. I used to, and, hey, Y100, you suck! And then click. And I'd be like, no, I'm brand new. I'm not good at this yet.
That was Chuck doing that to
Chuck
you?
Doing
yeah,
that.
I would mess around with him, yeah. sure.
Wow.
Yeah,
meanwhile,
I was,
you had no idea what you were doing. You're scarring his soul.
Oh, my
but
God.
I was terrible on another radio station. I was on Max 95.7 at the time.
Yeah, I remember Max.
And we couldn't get arrested against Y100, but yep. it was a time. We were all trying to find our way.
Yeah. But you lived and you breathed MMR since you were a kid. So
yeah.
Your defense and support of it has been unwavering.
I love Chuck's. What is it? Your 6th, 7th, or 8th grade class photo where you're wearing an MMR sweatshirt.
Yeah. MMR sweatshirt with a famous mustache on it. Yeah.
So this is a huge question, or a broad question, I guess. But it's been 15 years. Any highlights stand out for you guys personally? I mean, anything that just sort of goes above and beyond anything else we've done?
I think meeting David Faustino.
Casey spreading his butt cheeks for Mark Summers.
I thought you were talking about the pressed. The milkshake pressed ham.
That was a good one too. No, but when you
same day.
When you spread your butt cheeks and Mark Summers goes, that will haunt my dreams for the rest of my life. It was hilarious.
You can't unsee it.
I remember Kathy being in. We were when we, you know, the notion of getting legal involved in anything was completely alien to us, and we were literally detonating chemical bombs in an unfinished office down the hallway.
That's when we pulled Rodney in. We were like, hey,
oh yeah, he became one of our biggest culprits.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then Rodney is like pretty single-handedly responsible for the enormity of the Camp Out for Hunger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With Chuck.
Yeah, with Chuck. But like, you know, Rodney came in, and he's like, oh wow, we can make this bigger and, you know, we can get a bigger tent and, you know, do all this sort of stuff. Like, yeah, Rodney's been an asset as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Eric, you know, Eric and Todd.
It's been a great thing. And so,
we just come up with some ideas and go, can you do that, please?
Yeah. I mean,
they handle all the hard work part of it. Yeah.
Wait, Steve, to your comment though about legal, like I remember being like, we have a legal department?
Ask them? Yeah, that was kind of our modus operandi, was to just execute it and then go to the wake afterwards.
You know who, and this is totally off air and you guys won't get it, but who I miss and from the early days is Rick Feinblatt.
Yeah.
What's he up to?
I don't know. I think he's retired.
Rick Feinblatt.
I've seen him a couple times.
Was one of the head honcho managers here. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite people. Hey, Kathy. Do you hear the horn? That's outside of Kathy's house.
And you know what? Too?
He was one of my favorite people around here.
I'm sorry. The addition of Nick Murphy along the way.
Oh my God!
Massive. Just took it to another level with adding video and that and his talents for things like, you know, when the NBA shut down and you guys all figured out how to do that. That little contest. March Sadness.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was, I think, far better than ESPN's attempt
Absolutely.
At it.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Speaking of Nick Murphy, he just sent me a text. He says, my favorite memory, when Kathy remembered the Tom Cruise interview after you guys remembered the Tom Cruise interview.
We've had countless moments of those.
Oh, man.
It goes all the way back to Preston, Marilyn, and Steve. You remember we were interviewing Kiefer Sutherland for 24, and it happened just after 9/11.
Yeah.
And Marilyn. I just asked the question.
The next question was that Marilyn asked was the exact question.
Almost you worded had the exact same way.
Asked right before.
Yeah.
It happens. You know, there are other things going on, but sometimes we're not all 100% paying attention because there are other things, phone calls, screens to look at, and so on and so forth. And then
but
you
it
realize.
It still sucks you when guys it just happens
said,
to you.
Oh, totally. When it happens to you, it's like, oh. Come on. I know.
But anyway, the moments are too many to mention. It's been so much fun. It's 15 years and it keeps going. And we'll do this again in 5 more years on the 20. You know?
Crazy. Yeah. 20 years here.
Well, yep.
All right.
Anyhow, with that, we are playing songs exclusively from the first year that we signed on here at MMR 2005. So musically, we pay tribute to that. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Am I giving this away?
Yeah, from Turkey Vultures to
Turkey Bacon.
Ooh.
I have a 6-pack of coupons good for 6 full-size packages of Godshall's Turkey Bacon. Caller number 8, it is yours, 215-263-WMMR. Godshall's keeping the food supply safe and clean right here in the Philly Burbs. We're going to take a break and be back in just a moment. Some bizarre file stories will come up next. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
5-finger death punch. Blue Stones.
Now I'm shaking off the rush.
Disturbed.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're going to go for this.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Godshall's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat. The hometown favorite, Godshall's real wood-smoked turkey bacon from their family of owners to yours. Available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. Let's begin in one of our favorite states, Florida. Here we go. The Polk County Sheriff's Office is trying to identify a man who was caught on surveillance video attacking another customer at a liquor store. And according to deputies, the attack stemmed from the suspect getting upset that the victim didn't say thank you or didn't thank him for holding the door open.
I can see that.
I saw the video footage, though.
Drives me crazy, but I don't know if I'd throttle someone for not doing that.
But at this time, with the social distancing, like the holding the door, you're getting closer to people.
The victim, who is seen in the video wearing a tan-colored hat, told deputies he walked into the liquor store while the suspect held the door open. The suspect then reportedly asked, "You don't say thank you to people who hold the door open for you?"
You don't say thank you?
The victim said he responded by saying, "Thank you." But apparently that wasn't enough. The sheriff said, because our now suspect, who was originally a gentleman, started jawing back and forth. That's a southern vernacular for talking back to each other, he said. The two men are seen in the video walking to different parts of the liquor store after the initial confrontation. Deputies say that the victim claims the suspect then continued to express his anger from the other aisle. The suspect told him, "I'll kick your butt." No, "I'll kick your ass" is what he said. "I'll kick your ass if you say another word." And the victim supposedly replied by saying another word. And that's when deputies say the suspect quickly approached the victim and started attacking.
And they said another word.
Now, the sheriff said the previous southern gentleman who held the door open, who is now the suspect, promptly was good for his word because he walked up around the aisle and started beating him up. The surveillance video shows the suspect repeatedly hit the victim, knocking the man's hat off. A third man who was in the store with the suspect was eventually able to pull the suspect away from the victim.
My hat!
The video shows the victim and the suspect giving each other the middle finger as the suspect leaves the store. Now, the sheriff, he said, "Come on, ma'am, what are you thinking? Were your three brain cells in overload? Why don't you just let it go? Get your bottle of liquor, go back to the house, have you a drink. But no, they had to have a kerfuffle right there in the middle of the store.
And you know, a southern kerfuffle is unlike any other kerfuffle.
Anyone who recognizes suspect is asked to call the sheriff's office.
Yeah, it got away from him.
Settle down, folks. An employee at a New Zealand Subway restaurant has reportedly been suspended after allegedly sexually harassing a woman online after she had shared her personal information as part of a coronavirus contact tracing effort. A woman identified only as Jess said that she was creeped out when she was repeatedly contacted by a male worker after she had shared her details at a location in the sandwich chain for contact tracing purposes.
How do you like your foot long?
She said, I felt pretty gross. He made me feel really uncomfortable. He's contacting me. I didn't ask him to do that. I don't want that. I had to put my details on their contact tracing form, which I didn't think anything of. It asked me for my name, address, email address, and phone number, so I put all those details down. The unnamed employee is said to have contacted the woman by sending texts and social media requests on platforms, including Facebook and Instagram, after she left the restaurant.
It's not a dating app.
Yeah, Jess said the incident made her thankful she does not live alone and hoped that changes would be made so others were not harassed after sharing these details.
She lives with the guy who opened up the door at the liquor store.
The restaurant franchise immediately suspended their employee pending the outcome of their investigation. A Michigan man is facing charges after officials say he tweeted a bomb threat to Federal Bureau of Investigation's official Twitter profile. The tweet was sent out on May 11th from a user account, JT616K. The user threatened to detonate, quote, 10 bombs and said the FBI had until 8 o'clock to find him.
Don't do 10 bombs, do 9. 10 sounds desperate.
Investigators traced the user's cell phone to 20-year-old Joseph Todd Kowalczyk in the Parkway Village Mobile Home Park. Mm-hmm. The following day, agents contacted him. He repeatedly told agents that he was just testing the government, and he was upset with the FBI's response time.
So he was kind of putting them through their paces, keeping them on their toes, right?
The FBI agent wrote, furthermore, he claimed that he did not intend to carry out any acts of violence against anyone and did not own any weapons or explosive devices.
You should thank me.
He stated that he would not post anything further, but he continued tweeting about the taunting continued to taunt the FBI throughout the day before he was eventually arrested. He was charged with transmitting a threat to injure. A man was arrested after a bizarre home invasion. Police say 28-year-old James Nunley II is suspected of sneaking into a family's home and bathing himself before being discovered and later arrested.
There's nothing wrong with being clean.
They were home, though.
Oh. Well, that's probably the wrong part.
Sheriff's office says the incident took place early Wednesday morning. At the time, the victims, a family, were putting their child to sleep.
Oh, my God, this is so relaxing.
And that's when deputies believe Nunley entered the home through an unlocked door.
Excuse me, ma'am, do you have any votive candles?
Nunley then hid in the home for some time, and according to deputies, he used the family's bathroom to bathe himself.
Mm-hmm. I would have to imagine, I think we talked about that the amount of home invasions would have to be dropping substantially because so many people are home.
Yeah. But some people don't care if you're home.
Yeah, they just have like to show. I got to take a bath, man. Sorry, babe.
Later, as he left the bathroom,
gotta
he
take
was.
A freaking bath.
He was
covered in mud, huh?
I got confetti over my ass.
He was caught by one of the victims and ran out of the house. But a short time later, he was caught by deputies and arrested for burglary. So they got him. that's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. Okay, I understand. We have a caller on the line.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, we had asked for Deloran High School to let us know who the coolest teacher of the year was. And turns out it was Mrs. Karen Schmidt. And guess what? She's on the line. Please welcome the coolest teacher of the year, Deloran High School, Mrs. Karen Schmidt.
Yay!
Mrs. Schmidt, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. You guys rock.
Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Okay, so let's find out a little bit about you. You teach accounting?
Yeah, I teach accounting 1, accounting 2, and freshman seminar, which includes like financial literacy and economics, that kind of stuff.
Important things to learn.
Okay.
In this uncertain time.
It's
wild that you would get that popularity because, you know, forgive me for saying this, that doesn't seem like the most dynamic thing where kids are going to go, yeah!
So, I know, they get a little bored, but that's okay. I'm also the senior class advisor, too, so I think that might have something to do with
it. All right. Well, whatever you're doing, it's working because they love you.
How long you been there, Karen?
17 years.
Wow. Is this the only place you've taught, or have you?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Been there the whole time. Yeah, it's a great place to work. A great staff, community. It's really awesome.
That's excellent. How are things this year? Obviously, a little different. We're asking teachers how they're coping and how they're getting by.
Just kind of taking it one day at a time and leaning on my colleagues and my students, really. So it's crazy right now. And what's pretty cool is our seniors got to go on their senior trip. They're probably one of the only ones in New Jersey that were able to get it in.
Oh, no kidding.
When did it wrap up? When did they get it in by?
We went from March 10th to the 14th. So as soon as we came back on Saturday,
yeah.
They didn't even go back to school on that Monday. It was very strange.
No kidding.
Just under the wire.
Where was the trip to?
It was Disney World.
Oh, nice.
Wuhan, China.
We were in our own Disney bubble, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Wow, man.
Nice. So what are your summer plans? I would imagine everything's kind of on hold.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as the shore opens up, I'll be going there and swimming at my parents and hanging out with my children. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Nice. Yeah.
How's your Zoom game? Are you good on Zoom? Do you have it mastered now, or are you screwing up?
No, we're not allowed to use Zoom. We do Google Meet.
Because oh, that's right.
Too much of a chance of hacking. Yeah.
No, that's okay. Right. Google Meet. Okay.
And when does class officially end and the summer start?
June 19th.
Oh wow,
that's late. That goes late. Yeah,
that's a little late. Okay, interesting.
A pandemic and it goes late.
Well,
yeah. Well, that's normal for us. But we are unsure about graduation and prom and
yeah. I hear some places are going to, you know, actually do a late prom, maybe in August or something like that. Depending.
Yeah,
on
we have some dates set up for the end of July that we're hoping to keep.
Okay, well, hopefully it all works out for you. But Karen, in the meantime. The student body has decided to reward you with the honor of being the coolest teacher. It is indeed that, an honor. I wish we had some wonderful prize for you, but we do have the President Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug that we will give you as a memento.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much, and go Doran.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Karen Schmidt, Mrs. Schmidt, Coolest Teacher at Delran. The next school that was chosen and voting is enabled for now is Villa in Holland, PA. So if you go to Villa and you want to nominate a teacher, here's all you do. Just text the word teacher. That's it. 39333. We send you a voting link and you can take care of the rest. It's that simple. And you'll get the weekend to do it, by the
yes.
way. Yes. Because we'll name the teacher on Monday. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two, a little bit later on. Hal Sparks will be joining us. The Beretta brothers. We'll tell you more about them in a bit. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Coming up in a little while, Mr. Hal Sparks will be on the show. What? Oh, is that
my
you, Kathy?
Coming.
Oh, my God. So here's the deal. Let me bring up to speed. We played a prank on Kathy this morning. We put a bunch of signs in her front yard that says there's a 90th birthday today. Honk your horn. And is it the Conshohocken Police Department?
It's the Plymouth Township Police Department.
They're doing a drive-by parade right now for Kathy and her 90th birthday. Listen to this.
That's great.
What do you see, Kath?
Yeah, hold your face down. That's what you see.
So
There's six cars that are right outside my window.
Oh, my God.
Let me see if I can move my camera. I don't know if you'll be able to see them.
Are you going to wave to them or anything?
Yes, I was waving.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, they lined up down the street, apparently, at the gas station down the street, and they just drove by. There's six of them. Traffic was pulling over because they had their lights and their sirens on.
Oh, my God. I love that.
They heard this morning that you guys did that, and one of the detectives that I'm friends with sent me a text, and he said, hey, we're sending you a birthday car parade.
And there it is, Kathy. How about that?
You got it. That's
awesome. in many ways, it's, you know, it celebrates our birthday at MMR, too. So
Are they coming back? I think that's what we should do. Yeah, so thank you to the Plymouth Township Police Department. They do a great job.
Oh, my God,
Kathy,
you're getting all choked up.
Thank you to Lisa and company at Upper Bucks Free Press. They made the signs that are in Kathy's front yard, which, by the way, say, Grandma is 90. Honk your horn. Happy 90th birthday today. Honk your horn. Here they come again. Here they go.
Circling back around. It's
a good thing your neighbors like you, Kathy, because this would you'd be in deep trouble.
Oh, yeah, I told my neighbors that this was happening, and so they brought their kids out. So the neighbors are here, too.
There you go. Nice. That's the best. So thank you, Upper Bucks Free Press, for putting
those signs. They have something for me. I have to go outside.
Okay, seriously. All right, go ahead.
I'll tell you what it is.
Oh my God! That's
social distance. Remember,
I didn't realize that when you do. What's up, Kev? You coming back?
No. They're leaving a little gift for me on the front porch. So we're social distancing. I'm going to grab it. Thank you.
All right. Get your disinfectant.
When you do these birthday drive-bys, I've found it's kind of customary to swing by twice.
Yeah, because you're getting boned if you just get the one pass through.
Yeah, yep. So that's what they're doing, which is nice.
And there they go, off to work now. Thank you.
What'd they get you, Kathy? Yep.
Did they
get you a revolver?
I hope it's hand sanitizer.
Oh, let's see. Ooh. I'm excited.
It's very exciting.
Okay, hold on.
What? It's booze?
No, it's not booze. No, it's a coin. All of the police officers that came by, I got their police officer card.
Oh, they have cards, trading cards.
Yeah, I love that idea. Cards.
I got a Plymouth Township Police Department patch.
And then they also
gave me the Brad Fox patch and the canine officer patch
happy
as
birthday,
well.
Happy birthday, Kath.
That's great. Happy birthday.
Happy 90th.
Happy big 9-0, Kath. Way to go. 9-0. That's awesome.
Plymouth meeting police.
Wow.
Very cool.
All right. Anyhow, Hal Sparks is coming up in a little while. Hal, you know, from a gazillion different TV shows and movies, is going to be joining us. We're just checking in with another friend, see what they're up to these days. And the Beretta brothers, who we will chat with in a little while. But a couple of stories I saw. You know what?
What?
I noticed.
Them. Oh!
Yeah. I think I did notice these.
It's Friday before a great weekend, and the noticer is noticing like crazy. What will he notice for us today?
Well, we noticed.
Down an empty alleyway, across an open field, the noticer notices everything. Nothing eludes his gaze. He is the noticer.
Okay.
No one knows. No one knows his story.
No his sad bro.
His ability to notice is unbelievable.
All right, it's Friday. No sad bro. But if money's an issue, this might make you sad. There was a time when having $1 million to your name made you part of a pretty elite club.
Yes.
But that label comes with possessing that much cash. That no longer gets you the same status anymore. Obviously, because there are billionaires out there. In fact, what Silicon Valley's Russ Hanneman had famously dubbed the Tres Comas Club, but now it might finally take a step further. Jeff Bezos, Amazon CEO, possibly by 2026, if things go the way that Comparison looked at current trends, could be the world's first trillionaire.
Trillionaire.
Never even thought that would be possible.
So, you know, during this situation here, the amount of Amazon usage has skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the company, which was really not doing well before, no, it was doing great before, obviously, and it just is doing that much better. Trillionaire by 2026.
Is a trillionaire, is that a million billion or is that... That, or is it 100,000 billion?
It's 1,000 billion.
1,000 billion. Okay. Yeah. I lose track once you get up into those numbers. But so, $1,000 billion.
Casey, you were talking earlier about having, you know, at what point, I mean, for me, I would think well early into this vast wealth of his, it would have started to lose all meaning.
Yeah.
Because you have such vast wealth that how do you, what is out of your reach? What can't you get?
To give you some perspective, when he broke up with his, when he and his ex split up.
Yes.
She got $38 billion, okay?
She got $38 billion? Wow.
Yes. He has already recouped $24 billion of that through the earnings he's made this year. So that was just a little, bump
ding
in the road. Yeah.
Oh, man.
$38 billion.
Oh, I almost got my $38 billion back.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a nice guy?
I hear different things.
Yeah.
The same could be said for anyone. You know, Steve Jobs,
yeah,
who I really have nothing but complete admiration for. There are many stories of him being insufferable and a bastard, and there are many stories of him being wonderful and generous.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any one answer to that.
Yeah.
I assume to some people, like his current girlfriend, he's wonderful.
Yeah.
To his ex-wife, probably not so
probably
much.
Probably not so much. You know, I've made this mistake before, too, where, well, why don't you just give everybody in the United States $1 million, and then you're only out $330 million. That's not the proper math. But if every single human being on Earth, I mean, in the United States got $1 million, how much would that equal? Would that, we're,
are we 330 talking? Million.
No. If they all had $1, that would, then.
Oh, no, because there's, how many people in America? 330 million.
Yeah.
So that'd be 330 million.
Yes.
So what was the original question? I'm sorry.
I'm
still thinking about mud.
If 330 people got $1 million, that would be $330 million.
Okay. Right.
But if 330 million people got $1 million, I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
No, that would be far.
That'd be way too much.
That'd be way too much. All right.
330 trillion. Case.
That would be 330 trillion.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, he's well on his way.
There are 880,000 people who work for Amazon. So, Bezos's wealth, if you want to talk at all about wealth redistribution, might consider going to some of the people who work for Amazon. But, people in the United States, no, that's never going to happen. But,
yeah.
There's a lot of grumbling over the last couple of days because there are a lot of people who work for Amazon, and some of those people aren't thrilled with their working conditions.
Yeah, you know what? I remember seeing, it was a long time ago, it was decades ago, I saw it was like a Nightline report or one of these investigative reports on CEOs of mass wealth.
Right.
And the type of person you have to be in order to accrue that kind of wealth. You got to be a little cutthroat. In order to achieve that, you have to make difficult decisions, and you just make them as part of business. And it can be cold and calculating and brutal. And
there's somebody somewhere.
That's kind of the way it is.
Yeah, there's somebody somewhere that you had to screw or something. Mm. If you look at, so I think of someone who to me represents a great example of a very altruistic corporate or Milton Hershey.
Yes. Yeah.
If you watch the story of Milton Hershey, who seemed very committed to his employees. And so I don't know if that's apocryphal. It seems to be accurate.
Yeah.
Was there at some point where he had to be cutthroat to get to there?
Yeah, along the way, I'm sure things happened.
He burned down the original town where Hershey stands.
And
yeah, he invited everyone to a big square dance. Then they welded the door shut and they burned it down.
They burned it. And then he started from scratch.
Yeah, and got the real estate for a song and a dance.
Look what happened there. Now, when you go and you stay at like the Hershey Lodge, you see the Milton Hershey story on TV while you're
there. You can't escape it.
It runs nonstop.
And it's pretty inspiring.
There was a lot of outside the box thinking. Yeah. You know, when they were going to plant in the fields and they took all the rocks and he needed to clear out from the fields and they made housing with those rocks for the people that were working. Then, of course, the school was his big. Anyway, this is not
this. Hey, who the hell brought up Hershey?
What is this? Talking about
Milton Hershey and how he used the rocks to build a house, and then he actually started with caramel. Didn't even start with chocolate.
That's right. Caramel.
He started with caramel?
Started with caramel.
It's a lie.
Coming back here, kind of started with caramel. Something's just a chocolate.
He's better than that.
This is not you. You're better than that. You fall down because you're working with toffee and you pick yourself back up. You're better than that.
So I remember this special I was talking about.
That's not you.
That I saw about the CEOs, and they were following this one guy in particular, and I forgot who he was. But
stop following me.
They showed him at a meeting, and I just saw him just immediately just you know, he was getting reports on another executive, and he just goes, well, he's not doing this properly, so he's gone. It was just like, you know.
Didn't talk to him.
Fired immediately. Like, nope.
Didn't take him out for ice cream.
This is not working for the benefit of the company, and so he's out of here. You know, I was just like, wow, that was, they make decisions that quickly. So, Casey, he may be a nice guy, but he also might make really, you know, decisions that affect people's lives in a very impactful way.
And there's always nuance. Also, the amount of people who have jobs because of someone took the risk.
True, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Happy birthday, Kathy.
Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. Let me know when you want me to shut the window.
No, leave it open, please.
It's too good.
Leave it open. We got the signs. So Bezos could be the first trillionaire in history as soon as 2026. You know what's pretty wild is seeing pictures of him. I think it was in an apartment at the time.
Yes, or like a one room. The off that desolate office that he was in.
That was Amazon.
That was Amazon.
That was
that one office
when he started.
And he was working around the clock.
He was the guy doing
and
it.
And his wife, who rightly deserved a huge chunk of the fortune because she helped him get to where he got to.
But he is the definition of a self-made man.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, though. You can't help when you look at his... So his current... It's a girlfriend now. I guess the plan is to get married. She's a very sort of sexy...
Yeah.
Bezos would never have gotten, you know... And it's like... We talked about that dynamic. Does it matter that he knows that? You know,
maybe I listen.
Does it's like, hey, I win. You know, it's a dynamic to me that would always haunt me a little bit.
$1 billion bank.
Look at this picture, Preston.
Oh my god!
So look at the picture of of Bezos with his girlfriend, and I mean, come on. So Bezos has got that one eye that points to Omaha.
You know.
Yeah.
I know.
You can get past that.
And that's the question, Kathy. Does that ever get in the way? Does that ever haunt him a little bit? Or does you got the brass ring, you just go, look at me.
Listen, we said this about Billy Joel ages ago when he married that chick that was way younger than him.
Oh,
we're
my
like,
God,
at
yeah.
some point, you just don't care.
Yeah.
You just don't care.
And there's always somebody who's not going to be bothered by any of that.
Totally. Totally. So anyway, he may be a trillionaire at some point by 2026. We'll see about that. All right, you want to hear something not terrible? Somebody says here... Google Milton Hershey and pedophile and see how nice he was. I don't need to do that.
No.
Is that...
I don't know. I don't know.
Or maybe it's that he hated pedophiles.
That might be what it is. All right. Okay, I have a question. I noticed this morning. I was using our Jock printer out here in the Jock Lounge instead of my printer in the
office.
It's
a printer that looks like an athletic supporter?
No, it's not. It's in the Jock Lounge. And one of my pieces of prep came out and... It had a word handwritten on it.
Oh, really?
Yes. And the word is farts right here. Okay, so my initial guess is that Casey went into the printer paper and just in a random piece of paper wrote the word farts across it.
That sounds like a very Casey thing to do, but I did not do that.
Wow.
This wasn't you?
No, that's not my handwriting.
Okay, Marissa, what are you saying? What?
Oh, I was surprised. It looked like your handwriting.
It does look a little bit like your handwriting.
Oh, hang on. And maybe I did it in my sleep.
Yeah.
No, that's... Oh, man. That R looks like my R, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That's not mine, though.
You would have remembered that, right?
Well, I even if... Well, yeah, I would have remembered.
That looks like Kristen Herman's writing. from Ben.
A, I would have remembered, and B, I would totally cop to it.
You'd fess up.
Yeah, I'd fess
up. You wouldn't hide something like that. All right.
We should make that a contest, though. Maybe that's something you do in the office.
I did quite literally notice that this morning, but I also noticed...
Oh, the noticer noticed farts.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys something that I noticed on Tuesday morning when I was walking down the hallway?
I'm not sure the noticer wants to hear this.
No, you want to hear this.
Hold on. Okay. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer.
Thank you for allowing this, Preston, Your Honor. Not only did I notice, but I ended up having to pick up with a piece of paper towel. There was a turd on the floor in the hallway.
Come on.
I swear to God. Brent Porsche, if you're still awake, please call in right now because not only did I notice it, Brent walked past it like all night long. So
somebody crapped in the hallway?
Well, did somebody have their dog in?
Kathy,
I think that's more than likely
Gloria
it because
there?
we've been having limited.
Yeah.
Access it. Maybe somebody brought their dog in.
I will answer your question, Kathy. Gloria was not in. Okay. Also, the turd was hard, as if, you know, like,
I think I'm going to crap in the hallway.
It had dried out.
So the turd was pressed about this big. Maybe, what is that, like 2 inches, an inch and a half, something like that?
It was probably a rat inches. Running around the building.
Oh, my God.
Rats don't drop 2-inch turds.
No.
I don't think so.
Maybe no, big rats
mice?
Do.
It anyway, looked, go ahead.
It looked like it could have and probably was a dog
coyote?
Turd. And okay. And maybe it was brought. So for what I initially thought was, oh, my God, I brought in one of my dog turds. It was, like, stuck in my shoe or something like that. But
you usually keep it in your wallet.
I usually keep it in my wallet, but sometimes it falls out. No, and I thought maybe it was, like, stuck in my shoe. I didn't know. I didn't know. And then, thank God, Brent had noticed it all night long. He also didn't pick it up.
Okay.
So I know that it wasn't me. I didn't bring the turd in.
Oh, my God. I brought in one of my dog turds.
Oh, my God. Now we're short one dog turd at home.
Hello, this is Diane. I'm missing a dog turd here.
How big was it?
About 2 inches.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it was
about.
Dried.
I think I'm believing what Kathy's. I think she's somebody brought in their dog or brought in their rat.
And, somebody brought their pet rat in.
Yeah, pet rat in, and that was the deal. I don't want to think about it.
Why are you actually curious if it was a human turd or not?
No, I didn't think about that.
Are part timers discouraged from crapping in the hallway?
I'm just wondering how a turd got in the hallway. I don't know.
Well, maybe the dog crapped in the hallway.
Yeah, but what's
all? Well, you got out of Bryn Mawr, where they're attempting to find out if a human being crapped in the hallway of WMMR. Jim Igloszewski's in the hallway right now. Jim, do you see that turd?
Yeah, I do see that turd, Tom. It looks like a rat turd.
Thank you, Jim. We'll follow up on this later on.
All right, so what's your theory?
Well, I don't know who else has dogs. It wasn't Gloria, because I had asked Kristen if it was her dog, and I don't know anybody else that brings their dogs in.
Yeah. Do people just bring their turds in, though? You didn't ask that question.
Well, or if somebody accidentally had it stuck in something.
I think it's disgusting. Yeah. A 2-inch turd. I thought you were talking about like a real, you know.
Well, maybe somebody in engineering has an animal that you don't know about, and they may have stopped in. Or when was this?
This was on Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning. I don't know.
I know that once a week we do the running of the ferrets.
Right.
When was that?
We do that in March, so it's been
March ferrets.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on.
Okay, we will move on now. I did notice something else.
I noticed he's regretting his earlier decision.
I know, I should have just stuck with me. What?
Casey's raising his hand like, what?
I don't know. I thought it was a viable 2-minute topic.
All right.
Sorry it wasn't received well.
Sorry.
Casey's stories. Preston's getting mad.
No, I'm not getting mad.
I found poop in the hallway.
It was a 2-inch turn.
Not viable.
That's so. Here's 2 inches, right? Was it this big, Case?
Yes.
No, that's an inch.
That's 2 inches.
Doesn't matter. I found poop.
I think it was a rat.
Yeah. So Broadway theaters have been closed since March due to the coronavirus, and Disney announced yesterday that Frozen will not reopen the musical.
This, we were just talking about this. That sucks. I know people love that presentation. They were doing all sorts of cool, like, laser effects to show the ice spreading around the stage and all that. It was amazing.
Yeah, this will be the first show that says it's not coming back. Thomas Schumacher, the president of Disney Theatrical Productions, told staff the decision was made, quote, primarily because we believe that three Disney productions will be one too many titles to run successfully in Broadway's new landscape, because the musicals Aladdin and Lion King are both on Broadway.
They probably do better than Frozen, too.
Those have been successful for a long time.
Well, and Frozen is more, correct me if I'm wrong, it's more gimmicky on stage.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Maybe so, but Aladdin and Lion King are really big, you know. So I don't. Did anybody talk to anybody who went to go see it? Or I haven't heard any reports.
You know what they need? Broadway Tiger King.
There you go.
Yeah,
that could happen.
I mean, you could do that.
That could actually
Broadway
happen.
Tiger King. Let's get the investment money and move forward on that.
Wow.
I discovered something about myself that I don't really like about myself the other day when it comes to theater.
Is it that you crap in the hallways here?
No. No, so Josh Gad did the thing with the Back to the Future people the other day, which was awesome. And then on his YouTube channel, the next day, there was a Back to the Future Power of Love sing-along. And I sent it to Casey. And it's an impressive group of Broadway performers singing Power of Love. I didn't even know there was a Back to the Future musical, but there is. And the musicians that set it all up, I look at them and I'm like, wow, those guys are really talented and really impressive. And then the performers are belting it out, and they like what they're able to do is really it's cool. I just don't like them at all. Like, there's something about me that watches
you don't
Broadway.
Like, you don't like the Broadway style of singing. I know a lot of people are in that same boat. I
mean, it's so showy. It's so campy. And I know that that's what they have to do up on stage. Like, I get it. But it's like, there's something about that style of acting that really turns me off. And I don't like that about me. I'm like, I should like this more, but I just don't. I get turned off by it.
You're watching it on screen. That's the difference. When you go and you do see it on a stage, do you also dislike it that in that presentation?
I just find it really hokey. I find like it, there's something about that style of performing that to me is just not appealing, and I don't quite know what it is.
Yeah, the reason being is they're overdoing it, and they do it because
they got to hit the back seats.
You got to see in the rear. You have to hear these things. It has to be overdone and augmented as much as possible to fill those rooms.
I've always liked, Nick, like MGM musicals. I've liked when something's like that, and it's something or music that I really like. So I never thought I would like stuff like that, and then I did, like the Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff and other shows and Les Mis. And they even like the what about the live theatrical presentations that they did like for Grease on television? Or did you enjoy that? Or did you see that?
This just seems like something like that those people carry with them in their daily lives. Like they act like that way when they go to Dunkin' Donuts too. And I'm just knock it off. We understand it. You're talented and you can sing. Reel it back in a little bit,
Steve. I remember the first time I saw Bye Bye Birdie the movie.
Yeah,
I'm like, why is she singing like that? Yeah, it's Anne Margaret, and she's going way over the top, and she's saying like that anyway. And like when I saw Tommy, that movie, I was a kid, and I'm like, why are they singing like that? But I didn't know it's theatrical. It's stage. It's supposed to be a tad bit different. Marissa, hang on a second.
Well, talk about like music transitioning.
Transcending.
Snoop posted a video yesterday where he found himself just having to sit in his car and listen to Frozen.
Because of Snoop?
I swear to God, it was Let It Go. And he was just like, Let It Go, we'll be outside soon.
All right, hang on. You have audio of this?
Yeah.
All right.
Let it go.
This is Snoop Dogg.
I had to come sit in my car and listen to this man. Let It Go.
It's all his facial expressions the whole time.
Just sitting in my car listening to Let It Go.
But like Billy Joe Armstrong shared this video. Like people were like, it's just Snoop listening to Frozen.
That's great.
By himself, by the way. No kids, no anyone in the car. By himself.
I do love, there's some musicals that I do love. For example, one of my favorite movies ever is the An American in Paris. First off, I love Gershwin. But Gene Kelly and all that stuff, and a lot of it is way over the top. So, do you think you could approach that, or it just would not work for you?
No, it's not that I hate musicals. There's something about that acting style that it seems to me like those people carry that acting style with them throughout their day to day lives. And maybe that's an exaggeration, or maybe that's me projecting or something. I find that those actors to be wildly different than your typical Hollywood or TV or
theater folk. Theater musical folk. Yeah, there's a little bit, and there's always been a jokey acknowledgement of that like lights, camera, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But that's you're right, President. It's a larger than life projection.
Yep. All right. Do I have time for one more thing to notice?
Notice wants to notice. Wrap if he it has up. More time, does he?
Casey says yes.
A lot of time with that rat turd.
They're going to do one more
dog turd.
I liked it, Casey. I was just joking around.
Casey Preston noticed that he liked it.
Yeah.
It's all good.
No sad, bro.
I'm not sad. I'm freaking mad, right?
No mad, bro. It's Friday. All right. Now might be a great time to buy a car.
Absolutely.
Yahoo Finance's Rick Newman is saying that the auto industry is hurting, with April sales down 46% to a 50-year low. And that means some of the best deals in years are to be had. Dealers are willing to apparently go the extra mile and beyond to make a sale. So right now might be the time to do it.
Let me go back and talk to my manager.
Okay.
And see what I can do.
You don't have to go to a dealership either, because deals are being negotiated over the phone and online. And meeting in person is only needed for test drives and for pickup or delivery of the vehicle.
Honestly, if you have the ability to do that, or again, you're talking about a lot of them are waiving payments for ridiculous amounts of time, you know, so that you get into the car and they're all of them are aggressively trying to woo in the Ric Flair vein. Customers back in for purchases.
I'm due. It's
Are
about
you?
Time. Yeah, I like to 100,000 miles is kind of my benchmark too.
Okay, why you put 100,000? Well, yeah, you drive every day. You drive a long.
Yeah,
distance.
I drive a good 30 miles.
People don't know that Preston lives in Cedar Rapids.
So
he just was born there and never wanted to leave.
So yeah, I like to make sure to come under that 100,000 mile mark. I don't know if it really makes a difference in your trade in or not, but I do that anyway, because it seems that's about when your car might start having some trouble. But that's just there may be truth to that or not.
What are you thinking? You might get one of those slingshots, those 3-wheel things.
Yeah. I'm thinking about. Can you imagine me driving
with a wraparound scarf and goggles?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was invigorating.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen anything about house sales? Like, are houses moving at all in the real estate market?
Yeah, my in-laws just sold their house and like they got full asking price. And,
really?
Yeah.
Without any difficulty.
No, I mean, listen, if you're selling a turd, it's, you know,
in the hallway that a rat left
and you're asking for a lot of money, but you know,
they're not supposed to be selling right now. Like there's also in this, stay at home, because my brother's a realtor and he's freaking out and you know, he is based on 100% commission. So there was a time frame where, if your house was under an agreement, you could go to settlement, but right now they're not supposed to be showing houses. I think some people have gone back to work. My brother's getting really frustrating waiting for,
it's gotta be unnerving, especially when all of his salary comes in that way. And now he's competing. You've seen House Vana, where you go and the house is all stacked up on each other.
Yeah.
It's a machine.
Yeah. You get home Vana. So there are ways to show your house. A lot of times, you know, what my in-laws did is they had the realtor at the house doing virtual. So if you wanted to see the house, that realtor was in the house on FaceTime showing you everything. Now, they also, they bought a whole box of latex gloves and, you know, foot coverings and the hand sanitizer and all that sort of stuff. Every single door was open. Every single light was on, so that you didn't have to, like, open doors and flick light switches on.
There you go.
You know, so they staged it in such a way that was, like, you know, minimal contact. But they ended up selling it. And
for the full asking price.
For the full asking price. And, you know, there's a couple of houses for sale in my neighborhood. And so it is happening.
Yeah, I'm just curious how the market is as far as buyers or sellers market or anything along those lines, because right now for cars, it's a buyer's market.
I know the construction's kicked back in as far as building. I wonder what has happened as far as the building of new homes, because there was a construction explosion taking place. Yeah. And, you know,
I drove past the site yesterday. I'm sorry, Kathy.
Yeah, no, they were allowed to go back on May 8th. I mean, if there was construction.
Right, construction workers are here, Kathy. You haven't seen this, so they're we'll see them now walking outside our window here on the fourth floor.
They're outside Kathy's house.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Nick?
I drove past a construction site yesterday, and it was fully operational. They're building a new school near where I live, and the trucks were pulling in and out, so it seemed like work was just going according to plan.
And, you know, you look at the guys here back, though, whoever doesn't have a mask on, but you can see their eyes smiling to be back and busy again.
Yeah. So, but if you're in the market for a car,
yes,
now's a really good time. So, all right, that's all I noticed. That's all I have time for. That's it. We got to take a break because we got some guests to get to. When we return, Hal Sparks is going to be on the show.
Hey.
See what's up in Hal's world in the quarantine life that we're living in. So we'll take a break and be back with that and more. Don't forget, we're giving away our Word of the Week prize. Make sure you stay with us.
Monday nights at 9, join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for a kick-ass concert clip, a live performance, Metallica moment. That's right.
In conjunction, Metallica is releasing an entire concert recording available for your streaming pleasure right here at WMMR.com. Rock's Reigning Kings with MMR's nighttime jester, Jackie Bam Bam. Every Monday night at 9.
Hey.
So when dinner's done, break from the TV and rock your smart speaker. It's Metallica Mondays with 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
That song came out in 2005. Weezer, Beverly Hills. The Preston and Steve Show started here at MMR 15 years ago, the same year as of tomorrow. It's kind of our little anniversary thing. So we're playing music just from 2005. So hopefully you enjoy. Hey, I would like to give away some God Charles turkey bacon. Six packs. I can set up caller number 11 and 12 at 215-263-WMMR. God Charles 100% bacon taste, 80% of fat, of the fat of pork bacon. So we'll set you up right now.
Interesting.
Yeah. Look at this. 215-263-WMMR. Bill Weston has just walked into our studio, and he has a cake with a 1 and a 5, and the candles lit on it. Thank you, Bill.
It was 15 years ago. Tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You guys, I can't believe it when I look at 4F, such a small space. We're all kind of crowded in there, hunched together. And plus, yep, both you and Steve were much larger men during those times.
We were talking about that earlier, yeah.
And
they're huge.
Wow, it's been a great ride. Thank you for an awesome run and for like working your asses off every day.
Well, thank you.
As hard as you were working back in 2005.
That's awesome. Did you get to hear? We did the break earlier. I don't know if you got to hear.
I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean the the legal stuff, like which I remember a lot of that. Obviously, yeah. Casey's butt up on the window after the slide into the ice cream and the pony, yeah, and the lady in the supermarket who broke her leg.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. So many things. But
we never fully killed anyone, though. And that's a testament.
Just broken bones.
Yeah.
I did see a memo where I had to write you guys a note saying that you could not get the Preston Steve oldest virgin laid on the air. You actually wanted to get a guy
have the second broadcast on the air.
No, we did get a young guy laid, though. That was pretty good.
But each and every day is a gift for me because I get to listen to this show, and you guys have such a great relationship with the listener and the advertising community, too. That's important.
We appreciate it. Thanks for the cake.
Thanks,
it's a really good cake.
I went the giant and stood in line with the mask and all of these afraid people. I jumped the line. I forgot that you got to line up down aisle 2.
Oh, yeah.
And I went right up to the checkout thing, and I got yelled at by the lady at Giant, like, please pay attention.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. It's chocolate.
This is for radio, ma'am.
All right. I know you got Hal waiting on the phone, so I'll shut up now.
No.
But Kathy and Nick
Murphy.
Yep. Yes, good wishes go to you guys, too.
Excellent.
Thank you, Bill. That's very kind of you.
Bill Weston.
I'm actually going to have a piece of that. It looks good.
Definitely going to dive into that. You. All right, like you said, Hal's on the line, but let's get a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic real quick. Yes, Kathy.
On the Schuylkill Expressway eastbound, it's jammed from Montgomery through to Girard. The left lane is closed. That's construction. South on 95 slows 452 to Chichester Avenue. Right lane closed with construction. And then in Delaware, Route 1 southbound at US 13, we've got right lane construction there, and it is jammed. This traffic report brought to you by Penn. Buckling up is the most effective thing you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones in a crash. Drive smart and buckle up. Be safe, PA. Learn more at PennDOT.gov/safety, paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
You know, Bill mentioning a couple of injuries that have happened over the years with on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I think our next guest.
He was.
Did he pull the trigger?
He did.
When we had,
and it wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault at all. We had the nacho cannon at the Camp Out for Hunger, and this was our intern situation.
We were the ones that caused it to happen.
It was so damn funny. But it was, it could have been really dangerous.
It could have.
But Hal pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Let's welcome our good friend. We're just checking in with friends around the world and seeing how they're doing in these odd days. Ladies and gentlemen, Hal Spark is on with us. Hal, good morning.
Thank you. I love being being admitted how close I came to committing a crime on the show.
You would have had a good defense, though. I mean, you didn't know what kind of danger you were dealing with. So.
No, I'm the Snake Plissken in this situation.
That's right.
Holding the bag, you know.
But that was wild. Yes.
Yeah, it was a shocking moment. Luckily, I, you know, have my Boy Scout emergency preparedness merit badge and no CPR. So we were, you know, we were well prepared for, I think, collapsing the chest cavity of one of your interns.
I think that was it. But again, we always have to use the caveat. Almost killed, but
almost.
Did not kill.
Almost.
That's a big delineation. So how are you, Hal?
I'm spectacular, you know, considering the circumstance. You know, we're all kind of hunkered down and creating our own new reality. You know, it's like the bullion cube version of the AIDS crisis. You know, it's like 30 years collapsed into one thing. I'm afraid to touch anybody. You know, the last person who sneezed on you, you know, isn't just that person. It's the last 10,000 people that sneezed on them. So, you know.
Well, you know, somebody said, and I sort of agree, in a way, this is we're now all Howie Mandel. Because
yes, we are. Yeah, we are. Absolutely. Shaved head, but in a vinyl zipper suit. I think it's like we're a cross between the Gimp and Howie Mandel, which is what he calls Saturday. But, you know, I feel like it's odd, but I do go to the grocery store in a full body condom. But I feel like
you should.
It's a little hard. Yeah. I kind of joke, but. You know, the Martian is probably the best movie you can watch if you want to know how to survive currently. Because every time you have to go outside, you got to get all suited up, you know?
Yep.
It's like life is a motorcycle now. You have to wear all the gear all the time.
You know, I used to read it, and because I'm a massive Kubrick fan, and 2001, yeah. One of my absolute favorite, if not my favorite movie of all time. But they used to show movies, you know, they would show movies on like... cargo ships and stuff like that, and 2001 was voted the least favorite because it shows those two astronauts in isolation, and it was just reaffirming, you know, their loneliness, and so. But now when we talk about having you on the show today, we're saying you are always doing many things all the time. Yeah. Has this been a massive adjustment, or are you liking the quarantine dynamic?
Both.
Okay.
It's fascinating because, like, I do my radio show on Saturdays, and I've done that, and I've been streaming it in one form or another. It was actually a Ustream show before I started doing it as a radio show.
Ustream. You know,
remember Ustream? Yeah. Yeah. And it's adorable. Yeah, it's like talking about Atari 2600. Right. But I did that once a week. Now I'm streaming every single day, twice a day, and I find my audience is, like, gathering before the show. And it's become a real community thing, and I kind of oddly miss it in between shows now. It's amazing how quickly things can become normal, you know, in an odd series, you know, circumstance.
Right. Like I still vastly prefer the former, and I know we'll get back to a version of that. But there have been little glimpses into things, I think, that we have been flirting with, like the working from home for a lot of people and other things that I think will here in for example, in PA, they're flirting with the notion of curbside cocktails where they'll be delivered to your car.
That's a great idea.
So,
we are all now Versailles, Kentucky. Drive up. Come on. Just drive straight through, man. Come on.
Yeah.
We'll pour the bu- you don't even don't stick your keep your arms on the wheel. Like the officer says, we'll just pour the bourbon right down you. You don't have to worry about it. Don't even turn off your blinker. All right. Sit down, kid. Daddy's getting his drink on.
Yeah, just sitting in the running car. What could possibly go wrong? Well, that's cool because, you do so much. You have the band, you have the stand up. How much stand up had to be wiped off the calendar when this all went down?
Everything. And I think going forward, it'll be one of the last things to kind of come back online. But when it does, people, I think, will be so excited to see it again. It'll almost kind of reinvigorate and make people appreciate both live comedy and live music again. And if there's ever been a situation where, like, bands that couldn't fill a room should be excited is that the fact that they can only bands that can only get 250 people in a 1,000-person club will get any booking.
Hal, I'll tell you how to reinforce that. Great White is booked at the Link here. So okay. And you know they have a bad reputation. No, but
they have a smoking area in that club.
But you know it's true because everyone is just jonesing for that aspect. You know, which is part of the deal. Are you doing any live music streaming?
Yes. Well, I you know we've been recording. I'm, you know, my Nerd Halen side project, which has been a joy. I look it up. I'm not even going to explain it, but, we did a version of Pretty Woman, Van Halen style that we called Nerdy Woman, and just messing around. And we were going to shoot a music video for it, and then all this stuff happened. So it's basically just been the song. So we are now recording our own version of Where Have All the Good Times Gone, the Van Halen cover. So, and that's become like a new necessary project that people are looking out for, too. We get, you know, asked about those, like, do this one, but make it about quarantine, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, you end up doing requests just to help people get through this sanely, you know. I think that's where you guys are really great for people. I think it's what feels really great as a performer who can reach out, you know, thank God the internet exists, you know, and we're not all writing fireside letters like 1918, you know, going,
you're right. There was
waste away from consumption, you know.
Yeah, there was a, I guess it was, maybe, I forget who it was. Was it Edgar Allan Poe or perhaps mm-hmm. was describing being at whatever virus flu or whatever was wrecking havoc with the country. And there, his description of being in quarantine was dramatically more boring.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because there's no Netflix and chill during the Black Plague.
You're right.
You've got to kind of count your blessings if you have that available to you, certainly. For me, though, it's like there are some projects that are staring me in the face that I can't muster up the gumption to do, like straightening the garage. There's one of those, you know what I mean? Is there one thing that you guys have where you're like,
yeah,
you know what? I'll finally have time to do this. And you look at it and it's like Newman. You just have this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it started within the first couple of weeks of quarantine. I'm like, oh, finally, I'll get to do this. I'll clean out the unfinished side of the basement. No.
Yeah.
Do you know what bothers me, Hal, is that we've been working. We're actually very fortunate because, many people are really getting bad cabin fever at this point. Our actual routine hasn't been shifted that much. Mm-hmm. But subsequently, you're hearing these people, oh, yeah, I learned Latin. Or, I sat down with a YouTube video and now I can play the cello. I'm like, God, I haven't done a damn thing outside my normal, you know, there's a couple of things here and there, but you almost
you're going to get lapped by people.
right.
Yeah, right. That's the one downside to actually having continuing employment during this is all these people who, like, hunkered down and woodshedded are going to come out the other side like virtuoso guitar players.
Totally.
French. You're like, you bastard.
Yeah.
I was keeping this whole thing running while you were back there. You know, all the nurses who can't speak French now are all going to be pissed with good reason.
You know what you have to check out, though? Actually, Preston's been posting some drum videos. And so we were talking about this.
All right.
I've been doing, you know,
I'll send some over to you.
I love the software gadgetry computer stuff. I know you got the first iPad when it came out, and I got it as well.
I still have my Newton, and it boots up. I'm just saying.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Wow,
I'm dead serious. I'll have to dig it out and send you a picture of it.
I'd love to see it, Hal, because Newton was the first swipe at a lot of this stuff. So but by the way, I just picked up the new iPad Pro with the Magic Keyboard.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It's a game changer for people who are looking, trying to decide to get a laptop or not. The new iPad.
Right.
I was telling Casey, this is it's a home.
That's right, Hal. You're one of those that buys the tech immediately, right?
Yes. Steve and I will be in line out front, like waiting for our brain chip, like it's the iPhone or whatever. Just like, yeah, make the drill hole really nice and big.
Absolutely.
Afraid. Let people see it.
Yeah. So we'll be comparing our Matrix ports. You know,
that's right.
Yeah.
Have you got the new one? They're upgrading it next year, but I went ahead and got mine anyways because I just want to be up on how it works. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
With the updates, you get less eye twitches, but it's kind of charming.
But these are the things that keep us from smoking crack, and so it's a plus.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just take it on that level.
Also, by the way, I thought of you specifically because I was hunting for like masks I could wear at the store that were both entertaining and yet would stop me from touching my face.
Yeah.
And my two favorite ones right now are my Winter Soldier cowl and goggle set that I managed to get from a costume shop before they were all sold out, which is super choice. and the Punisher Iron Man helmet. I don't know if you've seen that.
I love it. Yeah,
I do too.
It's the Punisher skull on an Iron Man helmet.
Yeah,
and it looks totally badass.
You can take the face plate off, and it makes Iron Man noises, and you can pop it. And it keeps you from touching your face, which is all that matters. So, and if you can laugh all you want, but I'm not touching my face, and that's fine.
And we know that that's it, you know, so that's part of the deal. And honestly, do you ever remember the Punisher having to be out because of influenza? No.
No, he never fought anything.
Right.
Absolutely. But that's because I think he like Rambo was dipped in pig sewage, you know, like in Rambo 3, you know.
Right.
You really do. Your immune system gets a real exercise that way. I've set up a pig sewage thing in my backyard to do the dip. I read it on a QAnon website that's the way to cure COVID.
Al, that shows you care, honestly. You care about your neighbors, you set up your pig sewage thing. That's
absolutely.
It.
Upwind. That's my hashtag upwind.
And do you shame people who aren't setting up their pig sewage things? Because, you know, the same way someone who's not wearing a mask, you'll do that.
I'm a bit, I piss them through the fence.
Al, one of the things we've been enjoying is your list, your top five list that you've been popping up on Twitter.
Oh well, that was just because Jessica Drake pegged me in that. And if Jessica Drake pegs you in five truths, five tags, or whatever, you have to follow up. You know,
yes,
all of them true, by the way. And I, unlike a lot of people, struggled with how many. You know, a lot of people. You know, they don't even have five truths worth hearing that, you know, like, that aren't yawners, you know. And I was like, well, this is nice and controversial. I'll save it for the next one.
Right.
I did indeed break into my high school dressed as a ninja. Yeah. After hours.
Okay.
Wow. And also.
Go to school dressed as one and loiter. Right. But go ahead.
So you've done CPR three times and applied two tourniquets as well. Were the tourniquets and CPR during the same instances?
No, they were not. They were wholly unrelated. The last one was relatively, I mean, it was a long time ago. It was actually my scoutmaster. We were making trails through Peeksmill, Kentucky, which is where I live. And they now sell tours, like canoe tours, using the trails that my scout troop made, which just means I was child labor for my scoutmaster.
Yeah.
But he was clearing brush on one of these things, and he was using a chainsaw to cut this big tree. And he literally, like, kind of leveraged it up to try and get it back in, because sometimes they'll get stuck and it won't push through. It was one of those like smaller ones, and he lifts it up and just oddly quickly bounces it off his leg.
Oof.
It happened so fast because he was just wiggling it up and then down like that. It was, and then suddenly there's just blood squirting out onto the ground.
Jeez.
And I was like, I'm going to get an extra merit badge for this one. Like, I immediately went, this is what I took this course at Boy Scout camp for.
Right.
And I did it with my Boy Scout scarf, my little cravat thing that you wear.
Your neckerchief. Look at that.
Yeah, my neckerchief. Took it right off. Did it on the, you know, with the femoral artery, like up above, the right near the thigh. Because we were out in the woods, and we ended up having to, like, we called our scoutmaster. He ended up driving him to the hospital. Like, you wait for an ambulance, and you might as well send for the coroner.
Yeah.
In Kentucky, you know what I mean? They'll get there quicker. And anyway, so he drove him into town after that or whatever. But that was my last full tourniquet or whatever. And it worked. He didn't lose his leg. I get points for that, I think.
Yes. That's very impressive, especially, I think, so much of whether you know the specifics or not of how to apply or to, you know, to put on a tourniquet, so much of that percentage of being able to do it effectively is being able to keep your wits about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that age, to be able to do it is pretty impressive.
Well, my mom's a nurse.
Well, that helps.
You know, and so we don't care in our family. We have, like, gallows humor, and injuries are no big deal. We treat all our own wounds. But the weird part was that I remember very distinctly, like, I tied it around there, and it would have probably been enough at that situation just, like, cinch it and pull it tight. But I was like, no, you put a stick in there, and you rotate it. And he almost punched me in the face when I stuck the stick in there and turned it.
Jeez.
To hold it. Because, you know, that's how you release the pressure so your leg doesn't go rotten, you know, if it takes a long time. And that's how you tighten it up, you know, to make it really a tourniquet as opposed to just, you know, a piece of tied cloth. And, you know, and I was very proud of myself in the middle of this. And there was ridiculous amounts of blood on the ground. I can imagine. Like, ridiculous. Like, I was like, if a cop rolls up, we're all going down for murder.
Yeah, you just decided. Yeah, yeah. You're like Niedermeyer with his troop in Vietnam. They just
right.
they killed him. So wow, okay, that's an impressive accomplishment.
Hey, outside of these facts, you've mentioned Kentucky a few times, and you know we had on a little while back was Steve Zahn, the actor, and he's a Kentucky boy. I didn't know if all the Kentucky celebs know each other.
Yeah, you know, me and George Clooney and Johnny Depp
J. Law.
Get on a phone call with Muhammad Ali and you know, just chit-chat. And, you know, apparently something in the water makes us all fantastically good-looking and powerful.
It's got to be. And then there's the Kentucky Tourniquet Club.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an underground thing. You need to know the special knot. But, I think the thing about Kentucky is, there's little groups like that out of places like Tennessee and Kansas, too. And I think it has a lot to do with those are the states you get out of.
Okay.
If you're an artist or you a musician or any of that stuff, like you decide at a relatively young age to take it on the heel and toe and go someplace where you might be understood.
Right.
So there's a lot of, that's why Kentucky has as many of those folks in it as it does, you know.
Okay. Interesting. Well, listen.
Or doesn't, I suppose. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Hal, we just wanted to touch base and see how you're doing. It's been a while since we talked to you. We're checking in with friends and finding out, where life is taking them right now.
In circles in the living room to the kitchen.
Right. We're just glad to hear you're doing well. That's what matters.
Yeah, we knew what a busybody you are, and we're just curious how things were going, you know?
Well, I have been back and forth to L.A. because I have a house there, too, and I do it like I'm a murderer. That's the weird thing. You go completely under the dark of night. Like, when I drive to L.A., I used to go any time of the day and do whatever it worked, and now I'm like, I'll go at midnight. I'll be there at 4 o'clock. I'll get what I need, fall asleep, and be out before the dawn, and I'm back on the road to get back to Vegas before, like, the sun comes up so that in case the cops are out.
Right.
Like,
darkness will be your protection.
That's right.
Yeah, you're
my Punisher helmet.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no cop will pull that over.
All right, well, listen,
take care.
How can people just keep it, stay entertained by you during this time?
Well, HalSparks.com will take you to all the links, but infotainmentwars.com is my daily stream.
Oh, Jesus. You are Alex Jones.
Infotainment Wars.
Infotainment Wars. Yeah, I bought that years ago because I've been on Alex's show, and I hate Alex Jones, and he knows it, and I know what a fraud he is, and he knows I know it. And so I bought that to mess with him, and I've had it ever since. So I decided to use that as the redirect for my YouTube page.
I love that.
That's pretty funny.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a nice circular world. Excellent. But yeah, so infotainmentwars.com is the way to get there.
Done deal. All right, Hal, we love you. Cheers. It's good to talk to you. We'll catch up again soon, okay?
Absolutely. Stay safe and healthy, and I'll see you guys in the future.
You do the same. Hal, and I'm going to send you some drum videos. Yeah. Hal Sparks, we'll see you, man. Later, bud. Oh, my God. All right, well, we're moving from him on to a couple other people that we're friends with, and they've got their podcast going. It's called The Beretta Brothers, two of us, and we've had both Bill and Gene on separately and together.
Both tourniquet experts in their own right.
They're tourniquet experts. Yeah. I did not know that. No, we have Gene, who is an award-winning author and illustrator of children's books, and he's also animated and illustrated for Sesame Street, Between the Lions, and Jim Henson Company. And Bill is he's Muppet voices galore, and they're just both really, really super talented. So let me conference these two guys together because they're calling from separate locations. Please welcome Bill and Gene Barretta.
Hey!
Good morning, Barretta brothers.
Gadzooks. Hey, bitches. You guys rock. Sorry to bother your work. Hey, Grandma. We get what I get to do.
That would be Gene.
Yeah.
Hey, Gene. Good to have you guys on. Bill, where are you calling him from this morning?
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm calling from L.A.
From L.A. Up extra early this morning.
By the way, if I can jump in and just do a little bit of confirmation here, Gene, you had contacted me, and yes, we will have you on the show for an interview. Okay, so this is me officially getting back to you because I forgot to. I'm sorry, but anyway, it's good to talk to you guys.
No, listen, I'll just wait to hear back from you.
It's nice to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no problem, man. Yeah, so you guys, and Gene, you're local, right? I mean, that's where you are right now, yeah?
Yeah,
right outside of Philly.
Okay. And so you guys started doing your podcast together. How many shows have been created or what's going on?
No, we're just this Saturday we're starting.
It begins.
Our first
yes.
One. Okay. Yes. Yes.
It's a podcast, by the way, not, you know, so you can watch it. And
podcast and podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so the one thing that's kind of unique about it is that most podcasts or vodcasts are not live, which ours is. So you get to call in and chat and all of that during the show.
So, and you're calling, obviously both of you have been, have done a lot in the industry and, tangential industries. So you have a lot of friends that you can call upon. And, so who will be appearing in the premiere episode?
The first episode is Brian Henson, which we just thought would be natural because we've both known him since we were young. And, you know, that relationship evolved in many ways for both of us. So he'll be our first guest. And what's fun is that we're doing two guest spots for the hour, during the hour. The first one is, you know, Brian. And then the second will be our cousins, Nancy Woloshin and Gary Giordano. And the reason is because we wanted to feel, you know, a family kind of feeling about it. It's not just about doing interviews. It's about having some fun, spending time with friends and family and just making each other laugh and having a great time.
You know, I think there's a dynamic, Bill, with this, and we were just talking to Hal Sparks, and obviously we're in this current situation, but I think a lot of people that might have been reticent to check out a video podcast or something like that are now sort of being opened up to how entertaining they can be. And so it's actually a prime time to introduce something like this.
Yeah. No, we're excited to do it. And speaking of, funny, you had Hal on talking about guests, you know, that we've met throughout our careers and people that we'd like to have on. But he did a pilot with the Henson Company that Brian Henson and I created called Augie and Dell Late Night Buffet. He was in our pilot. He was phenomenal. We loved him.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
So obviously outside now, Gene, I know you, obviously you're right up the road here and you're, you know, an illustrator and author and so on and so forth. And so I don't know, you know, if there's been a dramatic impact on what your work level is, but Bill, you're on more on the, I guess, on the film side and stuff like that. I assume a lot of that has come to a halt for you. Is that correct?
For me? Oh yeah. I mean, basically we're coming up with ideas and some plans to shoot things from our prospective homes. You know, the Muppet performers are spread out around the country. And, so we've had some of the characters shipped to our houses and disinfected.
You know, I get them disinfected anyway because those costumes, like mascot costumes, like puppets, they tend to hold germs, don't they?
Well, you know, with hand puppets, it's nice to, you know, thank goodness we have an amazing workshop because, the insides get pretty sweaty. And so when you pass them around, you know, it's easily to get things, but we're all pretty clean people.
You can boast that the Beretta brothers are clean. Yeah.
But I mean, it's actually important to, you know, because we work so closely together, the Muppet performers, you know, we're in our faces or in each other's armpits. So hygiene is a really important thing anyway.
Yeah.
But we've been, shooting, we opened the ABC special, the Disney, family sing-along special that they've had on.
Yes.
And so we shot that opening all from our homes, all the different characters. And so we're trying to just find ways to do it, you know. But right now, things are shut down.
But Bill, the Swedish Chef, is he – that's got to be a three-person operation, right? Because he's got actual human hands.
Two people.
Two-person operation, yes.
Yeah, originally it was Jim Henson and Frank Oz. Jim was the character, did the head and the body, and Frank did the hands. And we still try and hold true to that tradition. Sometimes I'll do the left hand and the head, and somebody will just do the right hand.
Okay.
Depending on what we have to do. But yes, it's fun. It's like, remember, you know, when you do that thing, you put your arms behind your back and somebody puts their arms through the holes. And that's kind of the same idea. That's the whole fun of it. Yeah. Okay.
That's kind of cool because you do the voice of the Swedish Chef, and Jim Henson was the voice of the Swedish Chef, and he was also the voice of Dr. Teeth, and you do that voice as well. It's got to be an honor for you to be able to carry that torch.
Oh, it is, and especially Rolf the dog, which is another one that I inherited from him. But yes, it's an absolute honor. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, the Rolf that I use is still one that he used in 1985, and so he's always around, you know, and I feel like he's always there, and hopefully he's okay with how I'm doing it.
Right.
So. Gene, how are your puppetry chops? I know you guys sort of blend different things. What's your are you more marionettes? Are you more what are your strengths?
I have had a chance to do some background characters in some Muppet projects, and I did a right hand for Billy once. So whenever I'm kind of around and visiting the set, sometimes they need some extra people, and I'm able to jump in and do something. So that's been great.
But, go ahead. And you know what, guys? Just so you know, that I mean, if it wasn't for Gene, actually, I wouldn't know anything about this or be doing this, because when we were kids, he actually had the guts to write to Jim Henson to find out how to make a Muppet, because he thought this would be fun. He was the one who really opened that world up to me. So if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have any interest.
Do you still have that letter? Do you still have that letter by any chance?
I have the letter, and he sent instructions.
Oh, that's so cool.
So was he the type of person who would get back to whoever wrote to him, or did you just happen to get lucky that Gene, he responded to yours?
I was 14, so this was 1974, so he didn't have the same notoriety as he did after The Muppet Show premiered. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, of course, he was still very busy, but he took the time to write back.
Wow. He said, look at the hands on this kid.
Yeah.
Listen, I grew up with the Muppets. I have a special place in my heart for all things Muppets, the Muppet Show, the Muppet Movie, the Great Muppet Caper, Muppets Take Manhattan. And when they brought it back to the movie in 2011, like I got choked up in the movie, like with happiness, right? Because the movie all, you know, built to this crescendo. And I've joked about it on the show when the chickens were singing the Forget You song. Right. Like, to me, I was so happy because it built to this crescendo that I was like
crying.
I was like legit crying tears of joy. And I've read about Jim Henson, and I love the man, and he was taken from us too early, because not only was he trying to create, obviously, entertainment for, you know, kids and adults, but he was also attempting to, like, make the world a better place through his entertainment. And am I saying that correctly, Bill?
Oh, I think you're right on. Absolutely. He was just all about, you know, it's like that line in the Muppet movie. Kermit just says, I just want to make millions of people happy.
Yeah.
And that's what he wanted to do.
You mentioned his passing. Tomorrow is 30-year anniversary that he passed.
Yeah.
No kidding.
His 30
oh,
years.
Yeah.
30 year.
Yeah, 30
wow.
years. Wow. Yeah, so we're doing our first show is, we're having Brian on.
Right.
We're not just going to be talking about the anniversary of Jim's passing, but it just happens to coincide with our day of, our first day. So.
Wow. And we're seeing also you have, a projected guest. I'm seeing Tom Bergeron. Is he coming up, or am I misreading?
He is.
Okay.
Second show. Yeah, second show is Tom. First one's Brian and our cousins.
Was Bergeron where does your association with him, did he work with the Henson stuff as well?
Yes, we've worked with him several times over the years. We've did, you know, we did Funniest Home Videos together, right. Hollywood Square. I mean, all kind of, he did the last series. We've been on Dancing with the Stars. It's just been a long friendship, you know.
That's great.
We've got a lot of good celebrities coming up, and we're also going to be broadening it outside of the Muppets to also television and film and fine arts and publishing, people from my world. So we're going to really bring in a lot of people that we have a relationship with, and beyond that, just to keep it very intimate. And like Billy said, bringing in family members kind of follows through the sibling theme that we've established with the
Right.
show. And you learn more about people by seeing them with their siblings many times that you don't get to see. So that's a fun part of it, too.
No, that's cool. Yeah, we love it. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, they give away those little inside things that people don't normally talk about. You know, when you get siblings, or like we're having the Blasucci family, Dick Blasucci, who was or is one of the original SCTV writers. He also was an executive producer for The Muppets on the Muppets Tonight series. But his son, Anthony, works on Family Guy. He's a producer, writer for Family Guy. His daughter is also a writer and comedian. So we're going to have them as a family on. And then our last episode, or not last, but our fourth for the first month of shows that we're doing, we're going to do a 30th anniversary reunion for Dinosaurs, the show from the 90s.
Yeah,
That is a beloved. How many, what was? Were there two seasons, or am I misremembering?
Four. We did 65 total.
Wow. Four. Yeah. For some reason, I remember the show had a very loyal fan base. That's cool. So, did you manage to get all the participants in the original series back?
Working on it. I've got a list of 77 people. We're trying to figure out how we're going to fit them all on a Zoom call.
Yeah, you may have to go in shifts.
I think we are. We're going to break it up into halves, and but we're building our the group, and it's going to be a blast. I think.
Very cool. Very cool.
All right. So the best way, I guess, for people to check out live would be to do a search on the Beretta Brothers on Facebook or YouTube.
You can go to theberettabrothers.com and it'll lead you to all those spots.
Easy. And you can listen to the show on Spotify as well. So we'll just send people to theberettabrothers.com to get on. That's cool, man. Well, you know, everybody's finding their ways to let their creative juices flow a little bit. And I'm glad that you guys are doing this as brothers. That's really nice.
Yeah.
And you got lots of good stories to tell and obviously some good friends that are going to be on the program. So it should be great. So
the first thing I did finish here.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Happy birthday.
Oh. A happy birthday to the President Steve Show from the Swedish Chef.
Thank you.
That's quite an honor.
That was outstanding. Yeah. That just now I can go into the weekend. Yeah. Happy boy. Yeah. That's excellent. All right, Bill and Gene, it's great to have you guys on again. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
We'll talk to you soon.
The Beretta Brothers. Yay! Bill and Gene and Beretta. So check it out. That's awesome. Yeah, Swedish Chef. And Rolf. I forgot about Rolf, the dog.
Oh, man.
He's great.
I would love for the Swedish Chef to say no sad, bro.
Oh,
I need audio.
We have to get in touch
with Gene. We can have him reach out. You know,
Steve, I wanted to bring it up during the interview, but because I don't watch Kimmy Schmidt, but you do, and Bill is a character on that.
I did,
Mr. Frumpus.
Of course he is. I didn't put two and two together. You know, there's a new Kimmy Schmidt.
It's a movie.
A new movie, yeah, which I want to see.
Yeah, he's in that. Bill Beretta's in that too.
Excellent.
So it's kind of a it's not a big role, but it's very funny, and so it's like he's a puppet guy, right? Who's a pervert?
And I didn't put two and two together that was him. But
is a puppet guy that's a pervert?
Yeah,
puppet is, or the
really
guy
the guy is
kind of both.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, you know, he uses the puppet to convey perverted messages, and but it's Beretta on screen too, and so he'll bring, he'll just say really inappropriate things. Right. But yeah, Steve, that movie is now, I think it's now available on Netflix, and it's Kimmy Schmidt versus the Reverend, and Bill Beretta's in that as well.
Yeah, nice. You find out that I guess the Reverend who was John Hamm.
John Hamm
has there is a another. He has a sibling, so it looks great.
Yeah. All right, nice. All right, well, let's take a break, and we're going to be coming back in a moment. I do want to remind you, the coolest teacher high school for the weekend is going to be Villa Joseph Marie, or some people just call it Villa. I've seen some texts that say, dude, it's Villa Joseph Marie.
Dude!
Whatever. Villa in Holland. Text word teacher to 39333. Dude!
Dude!
Just
dude!
Do it. And we're going to send a link to you where you can vote. So let's give away some turkey bacon. I will give away 2 6-packs of coupons good for 6 full-size packages of Gottschall's Turkey Bacon. Caller number 15 is 16, 215-263-WMMR. Tis the number, so give us a call and let's take care of you. We're going to take a break, come back with the Bizarre File. Stay right there.
While we wait and wait for live concerts to return, MMR is raiding the video wing of the MM Archives to present MMR's Dream Stream Concert Series. The best up-close and personal performances and interviews from the Preston and Steve studio.
Great song. It's a Struts on 93.3 WMMR.
Pierre presents from Ardmore Music Hall.
Tell them the name of the song.
Wish I Knew You. If you didn't know.
And Studio 4F.
Joining us in studio, Mr. Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
How you doing?
Updated twice weekly at WMMR.com and streamed directly to the best seat in the house, your couch.
MMR's Dream Stream Concert Series. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
People still wishing Gum Gum a happy birthday this morning, Kathy?
Still beeping. Yep, had to run outside. Got a honk and a wave. Yep, still out there.
All right, just checking.
We've moved one of the signs to, we're going to move to my brother's house.
Okay, good idea. Good idea. We played a prank on Kathy this morning. We put signs out in front of her house that say, 90th birthday, please honk your horn.
Grandma so turns 90.
Thanks to Lisa at Upper Bucks Free Press who made the signs for us.
Well, it's all the rage now, the drive-by honking, and, you know, because of the quarantine, and, and so people put the signs out, and we figured why not help Kathy out this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. She even got a police parade this morning.
Yes, she did.
Plymouth Township Police was
birthday
wonderful.
Parade and all.
Yay. All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Mulchworks of Aston.
Yeah!
Just stopped by Steve's house recently. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil manufactured on-site, along with leaf compost, decorative stone, pavers, and more. Mulchworks sells to residential and commercial markets with delivery and pickup available. You can visit mulchthis.com to view all products or call their helpful staff to place an order. A Florida woman beat her husband with a bouquet of Mother's Day flowers during a confrontation.
Oh, that's beautiful.
In the couple's home, isn't it, though?
Do you have any flowers that are heavy and pointy?
Investigators say that Sandra K. Webb and her spouse were in their Tampa area residence when matters turned physical. Webb was upset at the victim because he bought her children flowers to give her for Mother's Day, and this, quote, made the defendant angry. Webb allegedly threw the flowers at the victim while he was in bed and struck him with the bouquet. This is like 12:30 in the morning, by the way.
Ow!
Webb is also accused of spitting on her husband's arm and chest.
Oh, they're so sweet.
After being read her rights, Webb reportedly admitted to police that she threw the flowers, but she denied the spitting part of it. Yeah. So I don't know why she was upset.
He was trying to give them something to give to her.
Exactly.
It's a nice gesture.
You would think so, but...
You don't appreciate me!
Not in Florida.
I beat, just like Arani said, friend, with the bouquet of flowers that her date gave her for some, like, formal that we had in college while the date who gave her the flowers watched.
Why?
Why? Preston, we were in college, and it was 3 a.m. Why not?
And you were you meant it, or were you having fun while
we were having fun with it.
Okay, I thought you were really beating her with
it. No, we were hysterical laughing, but the poor guy brought her these nice flowers, and I used them to
beat
her.
These insane women. Insane women beating each other with flowers. All right, a South Carolina restaurant partially reopening for dine-in customers to keep their tables compliant with social distancing guidelines by filling the dining room with blow-up dolls.
I saw it. It was pretty cool.
The Open Heart Hearth Restaurant closed its dining room on March 17th, was allowed to reopen this week with a reduced capacity.
Look, this one has an opening in its ass.
And a requirement that customers are seated 6 feet apart. The owners of the eatery, Paula Starr Meals, and her husband Jimmy, said that they didn't want the restaurant to look empty when customers came in to eat. She said, instead of using scary yellow tape or roping off the empty tables, I thought we're going to make this restaurant look full. She ordered the G-rated kind of inflatable dolls from Amazon.
Yeah, the other kind would be a little too disturbing while you eat.
Dressed them up like customers and seated them at tables that would be off limits to diners. She said, my grandson told me that they look kind of creepy, but I think when people walk in, they're going to laugh. She said the restaurant's being careful to observe all the state's guidelines to remain open to customers. We're doing everything we can to make sure that we do this right. We just didn't want the virus to be what shuts us down. There was another place in Australia, Steve, similar to that, but they had next door was a hair salon, and they were getting rid of all these hair mannequins. Heads.
Saw those, yeah.
So they took all the heads and they put them around the tables.
Oh,
just to give it a little bit of an impression.
To give it a little, you know, little spin. So it was interesting. How about this one? A 34-year-old woman named, 34-year-old Brandon Bingham has been charged with aggravated assault after a security camera caught him nearly striking and potentially seriously injuring an unnamed gas station employee earlier this month. The incident happened at a station near Panama City, Florida. Here's another one.
Yeah, it's always Florida.
The whole thing started after a disagreement between Bingham and the employee about whether the gas pumps were working properly. In reality, Bingham had a difficult time working the diesel pump himself. A video shows the employee shaking her finger at Bingham as he pulls away from the pumps, and a few seconds later, the full-size truck with a trailer attached can be seen driving towards a woman, stopping only a few inches before striking her. Fortunately, there was a pole that stopped the truck from going any further. The employee fell backwards to the ground, and Bingham's truck quickly reversed out of the lot. Police were able to identify marks on the trucks and a business sign on the vehicle, and Bingham was quickly located and arrested after
that. The driver of that truck was having difficulty pumping the diesel?
Yeah, so he decided to try and run her over.
Maybe I'll kill this woman.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Hazel Lawton of Scotland recently posted an apology to a local Facebook group after a four-year-old bull named Ron rubbed against utility poles and ended up knocking the transformer to the ground.
I'm very, very sorry about my bull.
The move knocked out electricity to more than 700 homes in the town. Lawton wrote, in part, had an itchy bum, so he scratched it on the electricity pole and knocked the transformer off.
How big is this thing?
They can get up to, like, 2,000 pounds.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. What transformer?
She also added that Ron is happy to be alive as the bull managed to avoid an 11,000-volt shock from the fallen transformer box. So, but the power was out for a few hours. We'll do another story out of Scotland, actually, with millions throughout the world working from home amid the shutdowns. One thought likely absent from people's mind is what perishables left behind might be rotting away in empty offices.
Oh, yeah.
Staying at home has afforded people the luxury of not having to worry if they left their garage door open or stove on. But one woman from Scotland did show some concern over a 9-week-old banana she had forgotten to take home when she left her office. Mari Louise Brennan of Glasgow, Scotland, had an anxiety-riddled realization on Tuesday. She left the fruit inside a desk drawer for safekeeping.
Banana, banana, banana!
Before the coronavirus pandemic brought work to a halt for her employer. She said, knowing that there's a banana, and this is how she's writing it, without the G's and stuff, knowing there's a banana in my desk drawer at work, which has been there since a week before lockdown, is making me feel anxious, she wrote on Twitter.
It's tearing me apart.
Users on Twitter had some fun with her fear that was now public in addition to speculating what the fruit might look like in its decomposed state. Following her newfound social media fame over a banana and the need to give herself the online public closure, Brennan decided to venture back to the office to see exactly what a 9-week-old banana would look like. She took a video of her opening the drawer and discovered the blackened and decomposed fruit, which thankfully had yet to see the insides ooze out of its protected peel.
What did you leave here? What was that? It was a food.
I left a banana, in,
a banana
in my briefcase.
That's it.
And it wasn't until I saw this greasy black stuff at the bottom of, like, the bizarre files. It had leaked into the bizarre files, and it was a banana.
What is that?
What is this at the bottom of my bag?
Brennan wrote,
it's all over the bizarre files.
The unknown was killing me, so I drove to work to see what the damage was. I present a 9-week-old banana, and she wrote, safe to say, it's deed. D-E-E-D.
Deed is a doornail.
Eat.
You can't eat it. I don't even know if it'd make good bread.
She said, I came here from the viral tweet hoping for a resolution. Thanks for the following through. At least a user wrote that. So she was able to track it down and get the anxiety over with. And there you go. That is what I have for you in today's Bizarre File. Let's take another break. Yeah. Another break.
Another break for checking on your various fruits you might have left at work.
Yeah, we're going to give away some beer now. It is Sly Fox's Alex's Lemon Wheat Ale. It is fun to speak with a Scottish bro.
You bet your ass. it's a great time.
So we'll take color 14 and we'll set you up. We have a refreshing unfiltered wheat beer brewed with real lemon, and $1 from every case sold benefits Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation for Childhood Cancer. And you can order your favorite bites and brews at slyfoxbeer.com.
It'll make your kilt lift up.
It's available for pickup.
From your boner.
At all Sly Fox locations. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. And don't forget, we do have a lesson question, trash and music news coming up in just a moment. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh-cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kathy, were you just eating a lollipop?
A lollipop?
You had something in your mouth. What was in your mouth?
Nothing.
Oh. Spit it out. Spit it out now.
I thought it looked like you had a stick held up to your mouth.
Oh, all right. Man. That's her sucking stick.
Oh, no. My water bottle.
Oh, it's your straw.
It's the straw.
The bottle was out of the screen, and I'm like, what are you doing eating a lollipop at 10:13 a.m.?
Friday is a day for a stick sucking.
I guess that's what it is. All right. Let me see. No, Friday is No Sad Bro Day.
Oh, yes.
Right. It is also Word of the Week Prize Day, which we're going to give away in just a few minutes. So get set for that. But before that, we have something else to give away. We are going to ask a lesson question, give away a $50 Lee's Hoagie House gift card. And the question today has to be this. Charlie Sheen has tiger's blood and pisses what? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. All right, Charlie Sheen has tiger blood and pisses what? 215-263-WMMR. Let's find out if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash while we're waiting.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see what you got, Steve. What's going on this morning?
Well, as we said earlier, Mary-Kate Olsen and her much older French husband, Olivier Sarkozy, are now reportedly going through a messy divorce. Apparently, the couple had been staying together for the cigarettes.
Oh my God.
Tristan Thompson reportedly fighting two paternity cases by a former fling named Amberly Alexander. Kimberly Alexander, excuse me. Thompson is insisting he was cleared by two paternity tests, but later had to admit they were written tests.
Not a lot of stock in those. God.
And finally, the Broadway family musical Frozen is closing permanently, sadly, as a casualty of the coronavirus shutdown in New York's theater district. One bright spot, though, Olaf has already gotten a job as the water in a koi pond. So. And that's Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if we can find an answer. Charlie Sheen has tiger blood and pisses what? 215-263-WMMR. It's Dustin, who we go to for the answer. Hey, Dustin, good morning.
It's Justin.
Oh, Justin. Sorry. All right, Justin, what does Charlie Sheen piss?
Bosco.
Bosco. Yeah. Hang on, my man. For Justin, we have a $50 Lee's Hoagie House gift card. And Lee's Hoagie House has been serving up the best cheesesteaks and hoagies in the area since 1953. Lee's is open for pickup or delivery for lunch and dinner. You can find the Lee's closest to you at leeshoagiehouse.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! I don't give a f***.
Brought to you by God Shawls, all the bacon taste, 80% less fat, the hometown favorite, God Shawls Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon from their family of owners to yours. Available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. Pearl Jam has recruited teenage activist Greta Thunberg to issue a warning about climate change in the band's new video, Retrograde. The song is the latest single from Pearl Jam's new album, Gigaton, which arrived...
Come on, man. It never goes old.
Which arrived in March. In the clip, a man visits a fortune teller, played by Thunberg, who shows him various environmental disasters happening to the planet when he peers into her crystal ball, from rising seas flooding New York to bushfires consuming Australia. The band members themselves appear in the video as marching tarot cards, leading an army against the impending calamities. The theme of environmental doom also surfaces on the Gigaton song Quick Escape. Okay. As well as the trio of dance of the clairvoyance videos. Pearl Jam is forced to postpone their U.S. tour in support of the album, of course. So we know that. The album is called Gigaton, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. An attorney for the band Ghost has responded to reports that a UK-based company called Ghost Vodka is being sued by the group.
What's going on with this?
After the use of the name. Representing the band, Anne Charlotte Sudelin-Bjork said Svensk Drama Pop holds an exclusive trademark registration throughout the European Union for the figurative sign Ghost. Those rights are licensed to Global Merchandising Services Limited, in whose interest these proceedings are brought.
All right. Now I get it.
The case has been ongoing for months now, and numerous attempts have been made throughout that period of time to reach an amicable settlement. Ghost, the band, has licensed its name and imagery to Global Merchandising Services for use on Ghost-branded gin and beer. Bjork added, this case is not about gin versus vodka. It's about trademark rights that grant ownership for any and all alcoholic beverages, gin, whiskey, wine, beer, ale, vodka, etc., for any other EU-based entity to use the word Ghost is part of the alcoholic beverage brand name, which would be in violation of SDP's exclusive rights. So that's what they're saying. So we'll see where this goes. Skillet has announced the sequel to his 2019 graphic novel, Eden, titled Eden 2, The Aftermath, and it will be released in September of this year.
I thought it was going to be called What You Eatin'.
What You Eatin'. The deluxe limited edition will be housed in a slipcase and hand-signed by the band, and it will come with exclusive music and 5 limited edition art prints.
Do you know anybody? Have you seen the? It looks pretty good.
I saw the artwork of it.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah. Skillet frontman John Cooper has teamed up once again with illustrator Chris Hunt, who worked on the initial story, saying Eden 2 gives us more of what we like from the first book: more action, more surprises, and more suspense. The first edition followed the characters of John and Corey, based on the real-life Coopers, as they uncover the mystery behind a prophecy that threatened to consume them and their town. Excuse me. It's a Volbeat story. I don't feel like talking about Volbeat.
No, and you,
yeah. System of a Down frontman Serge Tankian has revealed that he will be putting out a solo EP of what he described as rock songs later this year.
Oh, he's going to put out rock songs?
That's what he said, yes.
Wow.
He told Spin that they were first meant for System, saying, originally I had these songs in mind for a System record if we were to end up doing a System record. But as we could not really see eye to eye on how to go forward with that, I decided to finish them off myself and release them as an EP. He said he's considering calling the EP Elasticity, a play on System's massive 2001 album Toxicity. He said, I think I'm going to call it Elasticity just because I wanted to do it with System and it didn't happen for me. It's not Toxicity, but it is Toxicity.
Yeah, it is Toxicity, but it's not Toxicity.
And that's what I'm thinking of calling it. I haven't finalized it, but that's what I'm thinking of calling it. So according to him, that's the story.
Was he high when he said all this?
He must have been high. And then finally, John and Dorothea Bon Jovi have started a new food bank to service the East End of Long Island in an effort to help feed those who have fallen through the cracks due to the coronavirus. It was reported that the food bank will operate from space at the clubhouse in East Hampton donated by the Scott Rubenstein family.
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to stop after space. I'm like, holy crap. What a massive undertaking.
Oh.
John Bon Jovi.
It aims to provide food for 5,000 individuals.
We are landing our vehicle now out in East Hampton. Fire retro rockets.
What area will this serve specifically? Does it say?
It doesn't. It says East End of Long Island.
All right.
It aims to provide food for 5,000 individuals monthly on the South Fork, as well as pre-made soul kitchen meals to the homeless or those without access to cooking facilities.
So there's a lot of wealth out there in the East End of Long Island, but there's also a lot of people who, as you say, have fallen through the cracks. So it's a wild dichotomy.
Yeah. Do you know, you ever heard of the South Fork?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where they're talking. All right. And there you go. Your music news. Let's wrap it up. Come back in a second. Give away our Word of the Week prize and turn it over to Pierre. We will be doing that in just a moment. Stay with us.
amazing. The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Want to remind you, looking for the coolest teacher of the year for Villa Joseph Marie in Holland, or Villa as it's known. So you can text the word teacher to 39333. We send a voting link back to you. And then it's up to you. It's real, real simple. But let us know who's gone above and beyond over the past year or so. And we'll find out on Monday who that happens to be. I want to thank our guest on the program today, Hal Sparks.
Yeah.
Hal's a Renaissance man. Yeah. And you can check out his website and all things at halsparks.com. But he's, he's keeping busy, as everybody's trying to do. As are the Beretta brothers, Gene and Bill Beretta, promoting their new podcast called The Beretta Brothers, Two of Us. And you can go to theberettabrothers.com. They have all kinds of famous friends and so forth that they're going to be interviewing and talking to and doing all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, they're both very talented guys, and there's a lot there, so it's well worth checking out.
Yep. So we need to do today's letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. I see him. He's got his mask. He's making his way in to the studio, and he will indeed give it to us. He's shuffling because he's got loads of coffee in his hand. And back behind the microphone with a bag full of goodies. And, I don't know what else he's doing here, but...
And a smile on his mask.
Yep, yep. Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man.
Hey, Pierre, you know what? One second real quick.
Yeah.
There's two different people use that microphone. Why don't you spray
it? Yeah, go ahead. Spray that right there.
Yeah. Watch the,
It says full of carcinogens. It says right on the can there.
There you go. Did you hear that, Kathy?
Yeah. Yes.
I heard it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I dumped it.
I just
sprayed our cake. He sprayed our cake.
Hey,
it's okay. It's clean.
Oh, my God.
This cake is clean.
Attempting to spray the
Doesn't matter.
Thank you, Connor.
Doesn't matter.
It's all right.
I put chemicals all over it.
These days it'll help.
Yeah.
I gave a little spray, a little Lysol to the cake.
There you go, buddy. I'm sure there's an acceptable level of Lysol in your daily intake.
Well, exactly. Isn't everyone just drinking it now? Don't drink your Lysol.
Right.
Don't
Looks
drink
like
Lysol.
You brought a bag full of 500 cotton swabs with you, too.
Yeah.
Are your ears very waxy?
Well, no. I just thought I had extras. I was cleaning at home, and I thought I could actually be of assistance because your studio is only used by you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But our studio is used by 15 different people.
Right. And all of questionable hygiene.
All of questionable moral character. And there's gook between the little buttons.
Oh, my God. Is there filth muck in there?
There's filth muck.
Okay.
Although, if you look right over here, Preston, in this area, you'll see a huge amounts of filth muck.
But that's our specific filth muck area.
Oh,
it's a trough. Yeah. We scoop our filth and muck into that.
Yeah, much like a vomitorium.
Yeah.
Anyway,
how you doing?
I'm excellent.
Awesome, man. You know, part of the mask is still hanging off your ear.
Oh, is it? Oh,
The other one, your left one. Take that. Did that hurt?
You do what you got to do.
Yeah, you do.
I feel like you're Beata nurse.
Let's get the letter.
I'm thinking that's a fabulous idea.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
Y as in yes, I can.
All right, and we'll take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll give you a shot at winning this very cool prize, of which I will tell you about when you get through, so be caller number 9. So you're wearing a denim jacket. It's supposed to be like 85 degrees, a little toasty warm out. Oh, it's the it's
Blues
Eddie.
For Allah.
What?
No. Oh, is that Eddie? I thought that was Blues for Allah. It's Grateful Dead.
It's Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. They look similar,
they
dude.
They do.
That looks just like Eddie from Iron Maiden. He's even got the long gray hair.
It's Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden. I'm sorry.
It's Blues for Allah. I'm wearing my Grateful Dead Levi's jacket.
I don't even know what Blues for Allah is.
It's an album from the Grateful Dead.
Gotcha.
We'll do the entire album today.
In my honor.
In honor of
our 15-year anniversary. Yeah,
in honor of Bill and his blood pressure.
Yeah, Bill was begging. He said, what we really need is obscure deep cuts from Grateful Dead.
He wants that, and he needs that, and by God, he'll get it. Hey, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I love that you were doing all those songs from 2005.
Eric Simon's idea, by the way.
I love it.
In our promotions department.
Eric is the best.
Yeah.
I had a long chat with him yesterday. But it's really cool. I remember when you got, I remember your first show, and I was ever so slightly behind. And you were going into your final break, which was at about 9:55.
Yeah.
And Steve says, well, what shall we do? Pierre's not here. And Preston said, well, let's go into the break and see what happens. That was the last time you ended the show at 9:55.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I got here on the other side of it. It was like 10 o'clock, and we had a lovely chat. And then the next day you broke it about 10:05 as your final break. And the next day about 10:10. And then the next day about 10:15. And then 10:20, 10:25, 10:30, 10:45, 10:50, 10:55. And so it is today.
It is. It is. Yes.
But that's our thing, man. Yeah. It works out.
You've got to get, you've got to land and then just start taking land.
Yes.
And that's the American
That's
way.
What Hitler said.
Well, I don't know.
Land and then start taking land.
Yeah. So, you know, you've taken land, and it's good land you've taken.
Yeah. We just go until we're done.
This land is my land. Is your land. My land is your land.
Exactly. This land was made for you and me.
Technically, Sukasa. Pierre's land starts at 10 a.m., yes, per the rated day part.
Right.
As it's worked in radio, so
yeah, that's all good.
Yeah, well, we do tread on you a tiny bit.
Well, we all flow. We you know,
it's flow like land.
Yes, we do. we flow like land.
And I'll take that as the segue to go into our caller. Let me see if I can get a winner. I'm going to Jeff, who's number 9. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Jeff. What's the word of the week?
Zesty.
Happy anniversary. Yay! You got it. And
right.
Jeff, for you, we have this really cool thing, and it's perfect timing with the weather that breaking the way it is. We have a Pizeek round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block. And awesome. You can take a look at it if you want to at the contest page at WMMR.com. All right, my man?
Yeah, mine just broke. Thank you so much. Oh,
excellent. You're going to love this.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, hang on a second, Bub. We'll get your information. Have a great weekend. Landis Block. Start imagining your own backyard paradise by looking at the photo gallery online at landisbc.com. So on this fine, warm, summer-like day, what do you have planned for your program?
Well, tomorrow would have been another little thing we would have done called the MMRBQ. Yeah. So there's no reason we should have it on a nice day. So, I mean, there's no reason it shouldn't rain and get cold and, you know, and the brave people up on the lawn make it through it. I've advocated for some time that we move it into June. But as fate would have it, it's been moved anyway. So particular year, it is postponed. But I thought it would be appropriate that we do a block of, you know, like one block of some of the bands that were to have been on the MMRBQ. Give you a taste for it. And thank you for your support and your friendship. And celebrate still a beautiful weekend that we are entering. So that's cool. We'll have a workforce block of the mighty Metallica and of Jethro Tull with all of his spitting and gargling and burping and other such things.
All right.
We'll play Boré in that block.
You will?
Oh, yeah, where love Ian that. Does his little whatever that is, his snort.
Nice. All right. Oh, man, I hit this button by accident. I guess we'll wrap it up here. The President's Steve
Show. Go.
No sad, bro. Brought to you today by Acme. Can we have my No Sad Bro ready to go, Casey?
Yes.
I do want to hit that one time. Brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and also Godshall's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat, the hometown favorites, Godshall's real wood smoked turkey bacon, by the way. And thank you again to Lisa and the gang at Upper Bucks Free Press for our signs, the 90th birthday signs that we put on Kathy's lawn.
Love that.
And thank you to everybody who honked and blared their sirens and did everything.
And the Plymouth Township Police Department who came by with the police car parade. Thank you.
Loved awesome. You for every 85 of those 90 years. Dear.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Next week
you're welcome, Poo-poo.
On the show as of now, we have comedian and magician Justin Willman.
Willman?
Is it Willman?
Willman.
Willman. We've had him by before. He's great. And baseball writer Todd Zolik will be joined. Zolecki. That guy, you know, I know his stuff. I love his stuff.
Come on, right,
anyhow, he loves, that's his thing. You mispronounce his last name.
He loves it when I do that.
That's his thing, yeah.
I know, it's so cute.
That's it. We're done. Rage on. Enjoy this weather. Yeah! Enjoy this weekend.
Happy anniversary.
And we will see you guys on Friday. Or, no, on Monday. It's today is Friday, so.
No, sand, bro.
It's Friday. Yeah. All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Happy anniversary, guys. I've been with you for all 15 years, and I'm just trying to figure out. I think you owe me 4 sets of underwear. I'm paying myself a little bit. 4 of bleach for washing them. And at least 6 cups of coffee that I spilled. Happy anniversary. Love you.
Next message.
This is Intern Ben calling in to congratulate Preston C for 15 years at Philly's Home for Rock and Roll, 93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia.
Thank you for telling me about in this crazy time. Love you guys.
Next message.
So now, not only do we know that he's a f***ing warlock, but Charlie Sheen also farts funfetti even better.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.